you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, we're looking for Dick, please.
A sentence I never hoped to say.
Hi, is Dick in?
There's no way. There's no way to ask for Dick without appearing gay.
There really isn't.
Is that a gay joke?
Hey, Kevin, if the season ended today, you'd be a fag.
Let's just sit quietly and consider how ridiculous that statement was.
Ooh.
Let's jet the fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Asshore?
If it was Asshore, what if your name, say, was Vagina Patterson?
Can I ask you a question that you can't answer?
Sorry, we're out of time.
And now,
the show that swept America off its feet is back.
Our feature presentation.
Chad, how do you come up with questions like that? I'm just curious, because it really seems like that's way out of left field. What if your name was Asshole?
It was funny, because I actually came up with that question for Trent Reznor when I was doing a three-way with him and Michael the Maintenance Man.
Is that right?
Carol Q.
How about that?
What?
I didn't know he knew him. But,
okay. I didn't either. How about that?
Fantastic. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:32 now.
Yeah, there they are. That's Luxury, 106.7 K-Rock. You're listening to Rodney on the Rock. And that was Luxury, who just played. Mm-hmm. And that's called Sable Star. Wonder where you are. Well, she's in Reno, Nevada, and she's dealing cards. She works in one of the, you know, the gambling places.
Casino?
One of the hotels, dealing cards. Oh. In Reno, Nevada, Sable Star. Okay. They're going to be coming back to play in L.A. really soon, so you'll hear about that pretty soon.
Okay, thank you, Rodney.
My favorite part of that is when he forgets the frequency. Yeah. 1067. It just seems like he's just got lucky that he came up with it, I think.
He's magic.
He's the best.
I like that a professional broadcaster calls a casino a gambling place.
A gambling place, exactly. She's dealing cards at one of those gambling places.
You know, those places that have the tables with the felt on them. What are they called? With all those people and the things with the handles that you pull down and then something rolls around and you can win coins. What are those? You know what I'm talking about. Hey, can I start with an email?
Oh, sure.
It was from a couple of days ago, but I haven't had time to get to it, so today's the day. Dear Kevin and Bean, I used to live in Oxnard, California, and listen to your show all the time. Dude, you have got to be one of the biggest Raider haters I have ever heard. Riddle me this, Bean Man. How the hell do you think you will beat my Raiders on Monday night? Your defense sucks. You don't have a quarterback, and Sean Brokefoot Alexander is down for the count. I'm looking forward to seeing my Raiders crush your Sea Hags on Monday night. See you in the loser column, son.
I actually thought...
Whoop, wrong clip. So that's the email I got from a couple of days ago, and I waited to write back until after the game
last night.
So I could just write the words 16-0.
I so wanted the Raiders to win. And by the way, your Seahawks...
How dare you?
Your Seahawks tried desperately to give it to them. I mean, you just were not doing it. It was 13-0 the whole game.
Well, it was.
You're begging for a team to come back.
But, I mean, the fact that they scored 0 points doesn't suggest to me that the Seahawks were trying to give it to the Raiders
at all. No. That's where you're wrong. The Seahawks were trying to give it to the Raiders. The Raiders just wouldn't take it. They said, you know what? No. You win.
See, I didn't see it that way. I thought that the Seahawks' defense was fine. I would have liked to have seen more out of their offense. I could do with Jeremy Stevens maybe dropping fewer, you know, passes and things like that. But
so
but,
what you're saying, if I'm not mistaken, is...
Raiders! Raiders! Raiders!
That pretty much sums it up. Yeah, it was a wet game, but awfully enjoyable. I will tell you that.
I played poker last night. We were watching the football game at a friend's house, and
one of those gambling rooms.
Yeah, one of those gambling rooms, one of those places where you can play cards and stuff and put in coins.
Right.
And I've never had this happen before, but I started with $200 on the night, and I ended up with $2,400.
Oh my God!
I've often wondered this, and I know that you don't believe much in luck. I don't think, or I guess you do believe in luck. But explain how this works, because we had seven of us, and they shuffled the cards after every single game, Mm-hmm. And they move the point around, so somebody else got the first card each time to try and move everything around, you know, properly.
Right.
And I was the only one that was consistently, I probably won 90% of my hands that I played.
You were having the best time you've ever had in your life.
And if somebody had a pair of kings, I had a pair of aces. You know what I mean? It was just like that the whole time. If there were two pair, I would have a higher pair than the other guy. I've never seen anything like that, and I don't know how it happens.
Well, because the cards are random, and they're going to come up in all sorts of combinations. Somebody else at your table could be saying, how did I never win one single hand?
There were two of them saying that.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying we reshuffled after every single hand. So how?
Because the cards are still random even if you reshuffle them after every hand.
Right, but that's my point. What are the chances that if the cards are still random every time, I would get almost every hand was great. And the guy next to me, almost every hand was awful.
Here's the explanation for that. You see the pattern because you got the cards that won. But if you weren't playing a game, if you were just randomly forget the rules of the game that you were playing. If you just had a printout of what everybody's hand was, it's as random can be.
Except for mine was always good and theirs were always bad.
Yeah, I'm not doing a very good job of explaining.
Well,
I'm saying I'm saying you would expect that to happen if cards are shuffled and dealt randomly. You would expect that combination to come up. You don't notice the combinations that come up where people have middling hands, for instance, or you know what I'm saying?
Well, I do, but it doesn't apply because what I'm saying is I got almost all of the good hands, and it seems like if it's random. It's a strange thing. I mean, we played for almost 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to leave. I got to bed at like 12:30, but I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm in for another hand. Let's go. I'm in.
But you were able to sleep on a big pile of cash.
Exactly. Yes. donated to the charity that we run, and I was happy to do so because it wasn't my money. So I enjoy that. That was good times.
Well, that's BS if it was for charity.
Well, it wasn't going to be. It's just I got home. My wife was working on something for New Orleans. So I said, yeah, you know what? Not my money. Here you go. Have some.
Huh. Well,
and then I started throwing around cash on the floor, you know, and stuff like that. I set a few 20s on fire.
Exactly. You got to do that.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Tuesday morning, and we have Kelly Carlson coming into the studio.
Oh.
Mm.
I figured that would just as well work for her.
Sure.
Now, she, of course, is the American Idol winner from season one.
No, that's Kelly Clarkson. This is Kelly Carlson.
Well, this one doesn't even sing.
And she's on Nip Tuck, though. And she's the hottie on Nip Tuck.
Yes, she is.
So we're looking forward to that. We are going to talk to somebody who is doing an American Idol, a new version of American Idol. And I know you think you've seen everything with the actual American Idol because they've been on for, 75 seasons? But this is a new thing, and it's for birds. So if you have a bird that can sing, you can enter this bird in this American Idol. And in the history of bad ideas, I really am not sure if there's a worse one.
Are there crazy pet parents out there who are as into their birds as people are into their dogs and cats?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Pet parents are everywhere, unfortunately.
So they'll have entries. Somebody will sign up for this.
I don't think they won't, but I'm just saying, you know, we talk about, deportation laws. This is one of those things where 2020 ought to just lure them into Dateline NBC, whatever that is, just lure them into a house and then kick them all out of the country. Because really, your bird doesn't need to be an American Idol. I mean, come on. So we're going to talk to that guy. By the way, he's the same guy that did the Squeaky Deaky song for dogs.
Yeah. Sure.
Psycho Mike loves. We have to talk about Diddy, who wants to be the new James Bond.
You know, he's been in one movie that, where he had a substantial role, and he got very, very good notices for that. That was Monster Ball. But it doesn't seem like he's really done it. It doesn't seem like he's working hard to be an actor, to put himself in a position to be considered for a role like that.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like that's true.
Just seems like he's talking about what he'd love to do, but not really willing to work at it.
You know what? He has confidence. He just says, you know what? I could be the new Bond. And I'd like to announce right now that I would also like to be the new Bond. The first Black Bond. That would like to be me. I mean, I would like to be that. Also on the show today, if you missed it late in the program, we had the Armenian comedian Review Borat. And we did it for a very specific purpose because we knew that he would be jealous that this foreigner guy, you know, came over here and made a movie and is making all this money when Sam was doing the same thing. I mean, that's his life.
Without the comedy, right.
Minus the comedy. So we're going to talk to him about Borat over the weekend. We are also going to talk about a new show called Dexter, and I think I have finally found the TV show that patterns the main character after my friend Bean.
What?
Bean is Dexter.
Isn't Dexter a serial killer?
Yes. It's a it's a Showtime show. And if you haven't seen it yet, it's really, really effed up and really fantastic. So looking forward to that. It's also it's voting day.
Yes.
I'm so happy that those commercials are going to be gone for 2 weeks, and then we're going to start hearing the presidential commercials for 2 years, right?
Well, I don't think they'll be playing commercials yet, but we're definitely into the 2008 presidential season after tonight. Yeah, that is true.
But at least for a while, these Proposition commercials and Cruz Bustamante, who was fat, you know, all those commercials, hopefully they're just going to give us a couple of seconds break.
I don't know if Cruz will win or not, but I do know that he was fat and now he's all that.
That is true. And Ralph will be along with the Showbiz Beat coming up next. Take care of a little business here, if you don't mind. Do we do this about daily? One of us on a daily basis sleeps in, so we have to call him at home.
No answering machine even?
Sorry, Ralph. Not yet. I don't know.
Hi, I've reached Jay Tillis here at the World Famous K-Rock. Please leave a message after the tone, and I'll get back with you as soon as I can.
That's a sell you're calling there.
Yeah. Hey, Lightning, we were thinking that since today's Tuesday, we'd, we'd do a show. We'd work today.
Maybe Lightning thinks Election Day's a holiday. Maybe he thinks she'd get off because it's Election Day.
Lightning doesn't know it's Election Day.
That's true. That's a good point.
So, I don't know, when you roll around, you feel like it, you know, maybe get out of bed, come on down. You know, as long as you're here before 9, 9:30, that'll be good. Thanks. Have a great
time. There we go. All right. Good sound. Good sound.
Good sound.
Okay.
We should always makes for riveting radio.
Well, it's better if they answer.
Oh, I got you.
I did raise the objection, Ralph, before we dialed that Alex has been calling the number for 20 minutes and there's been no answer. So why call? But we thought maybe we'd get lucky that time.
That's what we thought about our winner yesterday, too, man.
That's true.
There he was, answering the phone. Ah, Lightning. Good times. Good sound. 5:52, it is time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Where's the little redheaded whore? He's just, it's over here.
She's at home.
Sick. Whatever. I've had two horrible head colds back-to-back, been in every day. What, she has to show up and say, oh, 405's crowded. Tough, yeah, she's got a lot of tough work to do. Get your ass out of bed. Let's call her up. Get your ass in here.
Fine with that.
Well, she let us know ahead of time. She told us yesterday that she was come sick today. Oh. Lightning, we expected to see.
She knew how sick she was going to be tomorrow, did she? You can see the future.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Getting laid in Havasu or something. You guys fell for it. Well, the new Bond movie is on the horizon. November 17th is the date it's released. And Daniel Craig is doing a lot of press to talk about his debut effort as 007. And he is, he likes him some him.
Yeah?
Yeah. He said this is the bloodiest Bond yet. Because they really got hurt while they were filming this movie.
They really got hurt.
Yep. Talks about a scene in particular where Bond kills a man in the bathroom and he says, I watched that sequence and I wince. All my knuckles split. My hands were bandaged after it. I had a fight double, but I did the parts that hurt. He did the parts that really effing hurt.
What?
If you're not doing it right, you're not getting hurt. Well, I would think it would be the opposite, because you're making a freaking movie. If you're bleeding and your knuckles are split when it's all over, you're doing something wrong.
You're bad.
Whatever with him, the Bond.
It looks like he's going to be a great Bond.
Okay. To me. Here's an interesting lawsuit coming from the director, Paul Thomas Anderson, who did Magnolia and Boogie Nights, other motion pictures. He's suing the owner of his New York apartment, because he and his girlfriend, Maya Rudolph from Saturday Night Live, were bitten all over their bodies by bed bugs.
Ugh. Well, you're not supposed to let the bed bugs bite.
Oh, that's true.
Didn't think
no
of
one
that.
Told him that. Apparently, the apartment was infested, and they've got a one-year-old baby. So the couple is seeking $450,000 in damages.
Dude, that's a lot of damages.
Yeah. How much can a bed bug eat?
No kidding.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck do, by the way?
I read an article not long ago, Ralph, about how bed bugs are on the increase among hotels in this country because of so much international travel.
Oh, filthy foreigners?
Not uncommon for bed bugs to be brought into this country on people and end up in the beds. And then, of course, those people check out and you check in and then you've got. And it's apparently a very large growing problem in the hotel industry.
Excellent.
Because of the filthy foreigners.
Good to hear that.
Well, I don't know what's going on.
It's always the way, man. George Lucas has finally said the words we've been waiting so long for him to say.
Jar Jar Binks was the worst idea he's ever had.
All right, the second words we've always been waiting for him to say. I don't want to make movies anymore. Woohoo!
Oh, thank God.
Finally, we're off the hook. He said now his production company is going to steer towards television. That's where the money is, according to George, because, you know.
That's where the money is.
He needs some cash.
That's what George D. That's what he's lacking.
We don't want to make movies. We're getting into television, he says. The feature film thing is too expensive and too risky. For the same $200 million a feature film costs these days, I can make 50 to 60 two-hour movies on television.
Huh. Okay.
He's got a point. Well, so you can make more crappy movies instead of one big crappy movie like usually does. That's
cool. Break them up.
It's weird, though, because after the Star Wars movies finally got made, he said, well, now I'm so glad I'm done with those. I can go off and do some of the weirdo and experimental stuff that I've really been interested in, like how he started with the THX 1138. He said, I want to get back to that sort of thing. And nobody's going to show that on television. There's no audience for that kind of movie.
Well, cable will. I mean, you can do a lot of stuff on HBO and Showtime and that kind of stuff that you wouldn't be able to do on broadcast television.
Star Wars, the series.
He's doing it. He's doing a Clone Wars series. He's doing animated, I believe. So
I like it.
You got that coming up. And Sienna Miller has apologized once again to the good people of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for her most recent outburst. Apparently, she's filming a movie there called The Mysteries of Pittsburgh, an independent film. And she's already called the city Esburg. Rhymes with Pittsburgh.
Instead of Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And recently, she was at a place called Young's Tavern there in Pittsburgh, and she couldn't get in. And she went off on the guy working the door, and I kid you not, said, I am Sienna Miller.
No,
I'm a famous actress.
No, she didn't.
Yeah. Now she is apologizing, saying that the reason for her outburst was that she was just exhausted and dehydrated, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
She says her tight filming schedule left her feeling exhausted and irritable, and that's why she went off on the people at the door. Right. I'm thinking if you're exhausted from a hard day of filming, go to bed. Stay in your hotel. No need to go to the tavern and try to get in and say, I'm a famous actress.
You know, what the stars don't realize is that everybody has a job and everybody's exhausted and on a tight schedule, but still manages to survive without, don't you know who I am?
Yeah. Apparently the problem was when she got to the door, she didn't have an ID.
Oh, so that's why she was complaining. I'm a movie star. Don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they carded her, and they said, we need to see some identification before we let you in this tavern.
As is the law.
As is the law. And she didn't have a driver's license or any ID on her. And she said, I'm a famous actress. I'm...
whore!
Wow. I'm Sienna Miller. I don't need an ID. And she got in her helicopter and drove home. Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Knight, our pal from the Brady Bunch. But most recently, I guess, My Fair Brady is what we know him from, or the reality show over on VH1. He's 49 years old today.
Poor beaten bastard.
Yeah. He's married to Marvel, at least, though.
They still married, as far as we know?
Still married, as far as we know. And the London boys, Jeremy and Jason, celebrate their 34th birthday today. Jeremy, you know, from Party of Five, and Jason's an actor as well. In other things. Not as successful as his twin brother, Jeremy, which has got to hurt. I look exactly like him, and I get a worse career than him. What could possibly be the difference between the two? You cast him, and you don't cast me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dude, there's only one more Lost before next year. Come on. What's up with that?
There's a long break, I know. How about a theme? Catchiest theme in TV. Wait, here's my favorite part.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, ABC Channel 7, Lost returns. Our pal Jorge Garcia on the line with us right now. Always great to catch up with Jorge. He, of course, plays Hurley on the show. Hey, Jorge, how are you, man?
I'm doing well.
Great to have you. Hey, tell me about Times Square, Toys R Us, yesterday afternoon. What was it like?
It was crazy. It was a blast. That was the first time I saw my toy in the box and all. It's got, like, the whole, like, little Velcro tab holding the flap down and everything.
This was Lost Toys that came out yesterday, I take it?
Yeah, so far they're only in Times Square, but they're shipping nationwide, I think, now, and they'll probably be in all the stores about 2 weeks.
Now, this is, what's the guy's name? McFarlane, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy who did the Spawn toys and all that stuff. We've had him on the show from time to time. Kevin, he's the crazy guy who spends like $3 million for a baseball. Remember that dude, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's got money to blow. But he came up with this idea that he wanted to do Lost Toys. And I guess he's doing almost everybody on the island. Eventually, there's going to be dozens of them, right, Jorge?
Yeah, and we all got our faces scanned. And they banked a lot of expressions. So
right.
The series goes for a while. that they'll probably capture a lot of different moments of our island life.
Does the Kate action figure come with clothes that come off?
No, it does not.
Not.
You know, it's funny because as an actor, I mean, I don't know what your motivation was for taking this role. It might have just been, hey, it'd be great to be able to pay the rent. I really think, hey, one day they're going to make a toy. I'm going to be a guy in plastic that's going to sit up on somebody's shelf or that little kids can play with. I mean, that just has to almost kind of blow your mind a little bit.
Yeah, and well, when you were a little kid that played with these toys and then you became an actor, always that in your back of your mind that someday I just might be a toy.
Yeah. Last question on the toy, and that is, I hear that they have some audio in them. Are there things that Hurley says when you push a button on his back?
Yeah, it's got three quotes from the show. I say, dude, I'm starving, but I'm nowhere near that hungry. Stop, wait, the numbers are bad.
Oh, sure.
And the one that's depicted on the figure itself is welcome to the first and hopefully last island open.
Well, that is awesome, dude. Congratulations on the toys. That's fantastic.
So you, let's talk about the lost episode last week. You guys are trying to track down Echo, and Echo is trying to find his brother's ghost or whatever. He doesn't know what it is.
Right.
And, yeah, he's out in the jungle, and you guys are trying to find him.
No luck, dudes. We looked everywhere. Echo's gone. There's no trail.
Not that we, like, know what a trail looks like.
Are you still tracking with the plot line, Jorge, or are you as lost as we, the home viewer, are?
You know, I'm just letting it unravel for me. I'm not trying to guess what's going to happen anymore. I'm just letting the magic happen over in Burbank, and I just read the scripts and do my little portion.
Do people have questions for you about the plot? This is one of those types of shows where you follow along closely. You try to catch all the numbers that go by and all the little plot lines. You try to keep up on it. Do they talk to you about one thing overwhelmingly?
No, not that specifically. And they know we don't really have any answers for them, so they've kind of
they've given up.
Laid off.
Yeah, I think you guys have done a good job in interviews over the years of just saying, look, I don't know anything, so quit asking. So I guess the word is finally starting to get out to the fans, huh?
Yeah, we're not lying about that. It's not like we're like, we really know everything. It's a giant head farm.
How sweet was it last season when Hurley had the smoking hot love interest, by the way? That must have made going to work a little more fun in the morning, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, especially because we had to revisit that cliff top kiss scene, you know, twice. Because one day the weather wasn't very good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Jorge's like, can I try it again? I didn't feel that. That was not my best work.
Yeah,
I'm going to do it one more time.
You know, it's just so funny, and there's been very little coupling on the island, but if it were a real-life situation with real-life plane crash survivors, I mean, you get over the shock and the horror of, oh, my God, we're stranded and we're never going to make it home. You get over that in the first, like, 3 or 4 days, and then you just start looking, hey, who can I bang? It just seems like there ought to be more banging going on than we're hearing about on the island.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing with these toys.
Oh.
Having whole new Lost episodes, a lot more hookups.
I don't really need to picture that, if you don't mind.
It is going to be funny.
Not me and the toy.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Slow down.
At Jorge's house, the Hurley doll is going to be all over the Maggie Grace doll. There's no question about that. So.
Yeah.
All right. I know you can't.
Man action mixed like Charlie and Locke and Jack, and then Hurley gets all the chicks.
Sure, of course.
I know you're not going to be able to tell us much, but at least can you tell us what something about tomorrow night's episode, like who's backstory? Who are we going to learn more about, if you know?
More about Jack.
Jack,
and,
okay.
I think it gets pretty hot and heavy tomorrow, too, for someone, yeah.
Now, this is the season ender, right? And then you take a break?
Yeah, well, we don't take a break ourselves, but, yeah, as far as airing, it's kind of a 2.5 season is this part.
Right, okay.
The rest of season 3 picks up in February.
But and I'm sure you hear this from the fans all the time, even though we're going to miss it for the next couple of months, it has been great not having to deal with reruns. I mean, I know that was the intention of why they did it this way, is when Lost is on, it's on continuous.
Yeah, I think Lost is very, they like to listen to the fans and, get the feedback, and this was the response to that. So hopefully people can handle being without Lost for a little while and enjoy them running it straight through in February.
I got to tell you, people like me that have trouble keeping stuff straight, it doesn't help to do reruns, and then I'm all confused.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
You're like, wait a minute, I thought he was dead. What's up with that? Well, Jorge, you are still one of the best characters on TV, man. We love watching you. Hurley's a great character, and Lost will be back tomorrow night for one more show before Christmas, and that's at 8 o'clock on ABC Channel 7. Jorge Garcia is the actor. Always great catching up with you, man. Thanks for coming on K-Rock.
Thanks. Take it easy.
Thanks, man.
So, Election Day, you guys.
When?
today. It's here, finally.
Oh, I'm so happy. I hate those goddamn commercials.
Yeah, it has been a little overwhelming with the political ads, that's for sure. And the phone calls and the knocking on the door and everything. The president has been doing his part, as you know. He spent the last week going state after state after state. I think he went through 10 states altogether trying to energize the base, trying to get his Republican supporters to get out there and vote. You know, there's a lot of people this year who say the Democrats are going to pick up some seats. In fact, I saw the president on TV a few minutes ago. He and his wife showed up at the Crawford Fire Station where he has already cast his vote and somehow were able to get him on the line to talk to him just afterwards. Mr. President, good morning. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Need a little post-voting refreshment.
Well, it's very exhausting to go in there and push that lever.
Makes you very parched.
Mr. President?
Parched, feel in the back of your throat. You need to have a little beverage.
Sure.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Enjoying a beverage.
We have many questions. One is the new computer voting system. Seems like it's got nothing but trouble.
No, it's actually a great system.
Oh.
Glad we're using it.
Okay.
It's an excellent system because the guy who owns the company is a good friend of mine.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, a lot of people are concerned that maybe there's not much of a paper trail or there's not any way to kind of recount.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people would be concerned about that, but not me.
Now, Mr. President.
Diebold. The guy who owns Diebold.
That's the company?
Big supporter of
yours truly, G-Dub.
I got you. Now,
I got nothing to worry about.
Bean just mentioned that you're going to a lot of different states. Are you? Are a lot of the Republicans letting you help them, or are they trying to keep their distance from you right now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. Well, a lot of people are pretending they don't know old G-Dub.
Right.
Yeah. And I go there trying to help them raise money for their campaigns so they will win elections.
Right.
And they say, go away.
Your popularity is at 39% this week, and there are some guys like the
I'm
man who's
39. I'm 39.
Charlie Crist, who is running for the governor in Florida to succeed your brother, is he wouldn't even appear at a rally in Florida where your brother is the governor. He would not even appear. He was in a separate rally on the other side of the state when you were visiting Florida.
What's Charlie Crist? No, I mean, other than that 2.5-man show, what the hell has he ever done that anybody knows of? He's not the president. I am.
Right. But he's not running for president. He's running for the governor of Florida. And I think you're thinking of Charlie Sheen, sir.
That's what you said, right?
Charlie Crist, sure. Right. Look,
Sheen for president.
You've been out there energizing the base, as they say. No, yes. It's not a euphemism. You've been trying to make sure the Republicans vote. And you've been saying, I've caught bits and pieces of you on the news here this last week, sir. You've been saying that we are in bad, bad shape if the Democrats take control of either House of Congress. But I haven't heard a lot of explanation from you as to why you think we'd be in any worse shape than we are now.
No, absolutely. You have to vote Republican today. That's my message. Okay. Get out there and vote Republican.
Okay.
And if the Democrats get into power, we're home for a lot of trouble.
Then what'll happen exactly? Because we're not seeing any specifics.
Well, bad things will happen.
Right.
Horrible bad things.
Have you thought this out past that? Or?
Well, what more do you need to know? You like bad things? You want bad things to happen
well,
to
no,
you
I
and
just,
your family?
I just
are you
wanna,
a fan of bad?
Well, first of all, I am, yes. But second of all, we just are curious what you're basing that on. That's all.
Well, if Nancy Pelosi becomes the House Speaker,
sure,
then she'll make all men wear dresses.
Well, what are you talking about?
She's going to do it. She said she'd do it.
No one
becomes the House Speaker, you'll wear a dress.
No
I
one
like
said
that,
Mr.
You'll be
President?
A girly man. You'll be a little prissy feminine man with a dress on. You like that? You like wearing dresses?
No.
Nobody's going to have to wear a dress. I think what you might have misheard her saying is that for the first time, the Speaker of the House will be a woman, so the Speaker will be wearing a dress, but nobody else has to wear a dress.
It will all be women, she said.
Wow.
The whole country will become women.
Well, see, we missed that. That's why we're having you on to clarify.
Bad things.
Okay. Is that the only...
No, of course, the terrorists will take over the country if we don't...
They'll take over the country?
Vote for Republicans. Yes. Saddam Hussein will be the new president.
If we vote for Democrats?
Yes, it's exactly what will happen.
Saddam Hussein has got a death sentence against him in Iraq right now. He's not going anywhere but to the hanging.
Now he does. The Democrats get in, they will give him a big check,
What are you talking about?
big check, like the publisher's clearinghouse thing.
Right.
And balloons and a parade, and they will make him president.
Hey, but
that's a promise.
Have you heard one single Democrat say that, sir?
Yes.
You have.
This one right here.
Yes, it will happen.
This one right here, standing next to me, just said it.
Was that Mr. Hankey?
The president is right.
So there you go. There's confirmation. Well, not to mention, not the least of your problems is if the Democrats win and we lose either the House or the Senate.
Right.
Uh-huh. Or the Congress and the Senate or the one of the houses of the Senate.
Whatever they are. Sure.
Whatever those two things are.
Mm-hmm.
I will drink heavily.
But don't you do that now?
I will be drunk.
Right.
I'm talking hand on the button drunk.
No,
I'm saying finger on the button drunk.
So the world could be destroyed if the wrong people win.
I'm not saying.
Okay.
But it's something to think about, don't you think?
Well,
you want a big drunkie with his finger on the button?
Hey, we haven't for the last 6 years either.
I wouldn't. Yeah. That would be good.
All right, Mr. President, in our remaining moments, anything you want to address to the young voters out there who may be thinking about heading toward the polls this morning?
I would. I'd like to talk to the youngsters out there who are needing to vote. We need to get young people out to vote.
Okay.
So for shizzle, my nizzles, get out there, open your my spaces. And look up on the YouTube.
Wow.
How to vote for Republicans.
You know how to talk to the kids, Mr. President.
Don't wear a dress.
I just want to congratulate the Oakland Raiders, who really made some history last night. They're in the record books.
Well, guys, as Moss catches this one, doesn't get to the end zone. The Raiders have played 167 minutes and 3 seconds in a row on Monday Night Football without scoring a point. And that is the longest such series in the history of Monday Night Football.
Yay!
So it's not all bad for the Oakland Raiders. They're still setting some records. Congratulations, you guys.
The first team to be blanked back-to-back games on Monday Night Football in the same season.
Yeah.
So their two Monday Night appearances so far, both scoreless.
Not so good.
No points. You see Al Davis last night? Did you see how old and decrepit that guy looks? He looks more and more like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons every year.
He does.
Year.
Yeah, that's true. I saw him at Canton, Ohio this season when they inducted John Madden into the Hall of Fame.
I watched that too.
And he came out in a walker, and he looks like he's a mummy. He looks like someone opened a crypt and he crawled out.
You know those movie scenes where the car is trying to get through the intersection and the old person walks out in front and is moving so slowly that it just drives you out of your mind? That's him. It took him like a half hour to get from his chair to the podium.
Yeah.
Just 1 inch at a time.
Well, the Raiders, since they lost the Super Bowl 3.5 seasons ago, have won a total of 15 games. So, good times. 6:54 on the Kevin Amin Show. Will Ferrell from the new film Stranger Than Fiction joins us after the news. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Commitment to excellence.
That's what it is.
9 sacks.
I know.
Nine sacks.
Weren't there 3 in a row at one point?
Yes.
Yes.
Magic.
I've never seen anything like it before. 3 consecutively. It was hysterical.
But at least it's nice and dry up there in Seattle. So that's good.
Wow.
That's
boring.
They're saying it's going to be biblically wet in Seattle this season.
Biblically wet?
Yes. That every river they're expecting to overflow over the banks and flood the cities.
Excellent.
Well, it had been a long time since I'd seen as much rain as we got yesterday, that's for sure.
So good times, B. Good times. Get your boat ready. K-Fed was playing at Webster Hall this weekend. Kevin Federline performing his gig in New York City. And unlike his Atlantic City engagement and unlike his Cleveland engagement, which were both canceled,
right.
The Webster Hall show was not canceled.
Oh, I heard that it was.
No, it was speculated that there was going to be due to poor ticket sales, but the show went on. Why? Right. Because Kevin Federline begged them to keep it on. An inside source at Webster Hall says they were going to cancel this concert, but he begged them to keep it on. So they did. And Saturday night, the concert hall that holds 1,500 people had 300 people inside of it.
Oh, you're kidding.
K-Fed at least kept them all waiting for 3 hours before he performed.
Oh, he was three hours late.
Show was supposed to go on at 7. He hit the stage around 10 p.m. that evening.
Are you kidding me?
And someone close to the Federline camp said he did it hoping that more people would show up. Yeah, maybe 1,200 people were late to the concert. Maybe that's what the problem was, Kevin. Good idea to wait for 3 hours to see if they'd show.
Anyone else out there now?
No.
Anyone else now? No.
The gig, according to witnesses, was mercifully short. He rapped for about an hour, about a half an hour.
A half an hour after making them wait for three?
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Nope. One eyewitness said he seemed really confused about how to act on stage. He would just pace from one side of stage to the other, saying things like, hey, 30 times in a row.
Sure.
Or, New York, thank you for coming. Buy my CD.
Dude, this is sad.
That was his show at the...
Rodney, you were at the show. What did you think?
Real good.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. You
sure, Rodney? Hmm.
Tomorrow, guys, we'll find out how many copies he sold of his debut CD in week one. He predicted 500,000. We'll have a number tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm guessing he makes it. Speaking of Federline, Britney Spears, according to In Touch magazine, is once again issuing an ultimatum to her husband. Is it really an ultimatum if you issue it a dozen times?
Not really, no.
Ultimatum, by definition, you would think would be the ultimate, be the one, right?
Well, you would think.
Stop partying, help with the babies or else, she's saying. Britney is tired of Kevin being out all the time and has told him to stop or she will stop him.
Wow, is she going
to
kill him?
With a 12-gauge shotgun. She said she doesn't want her marriage to end, but she'll do what she has to take care of her sons. Oh, that's so good.
Kevin, where's the baby?
I don't know. I thought you had him.
Oh, that's funny.
So funny, those two.
Funny.
Man, they're funny.
Our favorite entertainment news website, TMZ.com, is reporting that Hillary Duff's stalker was arrested over the weekend for threatening to kill her on Sunday at an event she was scheduled to attend.
Was he upset with her teeth, or what does it say?
Teeth too big, he said. Can't take looking at the chiclet teeth anymore. He's 18 years old, and his name is Maxim Miyakovsky.
He does good work.
He does good work, yes.
Wow.
He was arrested at the Residence Inn on Friday. He had got himself a hotel room there near the event where she was supposed to be on Sunday. And he was booked and charged on making criminal threats and stalking. He's currently being held on $200,000 bail at the Manhattan Beach Jail, and he's going to be arraigned today. So, yeah. He's the guy who came from another country just to America just to stalk her.
Oh, is that right? That's why he came here?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's motivation right there. That's commitment.
Yes, it is.
Commitment to excellence.
Yes,
it is.
Much
like the Raiders.
Dude, I'll barely write a letter. That's what a lame stalker I am compared to this guy who make airfare arrangements and travel and hotel, the whole deal.
Next year, we're going to have a new animated Christmas classic to watch every year. ABC's ordered a show called Shrek the Halls. See what they've done there?
Because they're going to make it Shrek?
And Deck the Halls. They've taken the two things and melded them together.
Okay.
It's going to star Mike Myers, Cameron Diaz, Eddie Murphy, Antonio Banderas. They've all signed on. It'll debut next Christmas. So you got a year to look forward to Shrek the Halls.
I hope whoever wrote the first Shrek, will write this, because I thought that was really good.
Yeah. I mean, they do good work. They're working on the third one now. I'm not saying it won't be funny or well done, but Shrek the Halls just rubs me the wrong way.
Does it?
Yeah.
This is the name?
Just the name. The Sopranos returning next year. Good news already coming out of the camp over there at the Sopranos. Adult film star Gina Lynn will be appearing on The Sopranos when it returns next year.
That's what I'm talking about.
Gina's character will be a stripper at the Bada Bing. She says she actually has lines in this interview. And there's a new male character on the show, and she has a rather raunchy sex scene with him, so she's looking forward to it.
Excellent.
She also says here in the story, Gina says she's excited about the release of her next film, which will be at your local DVD store on November 16th. It'll be available. Drowning in Bitch Juice.
Real
is,
good.
Is the name. So look for that on your DVD shows.
Wow.
Look for Drowning in Bitch Juice when you get
it. It ain't natural.
Oh, yeah, it is.
A little bit wet.
Yep.
This is the last of The Sopranos, right? This, when it comes back, is that the beginning of the end, right?
Yeah. See Gina Lynn working at the Bada Bing, so that's all good. speaking of DVDs, it's Tuesday. That means new DVDs are in stores today. Here's what's available for you to purchase. Cars is available, the animated film starring Owen Wilson as Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
As lead character
is Lightning.
Love.
Yep.
Going to have some clips in there for us to use, right? Martha Stewart's Favorite Cookies is also available today on DVD.
Martha Stewart's Favorite Cookies.
Martha's Favorite Cookies is the name of the DVD. She gives you all her favorite cookie recipes.
Really?
Okay. You can pick it up on DVD today. JAG Season 2. Finally, the second season of JAG is available. I've just been hung on the cliffhanger from Season 1, just waiting to see what happens with the JAG crew. I heard they drown in bitch juice.
Is that right?
That's what I heard in the second season.
A very special episode.
Yeah.
It was rough.
The West Wing... The complete series is available today on a 45-disc set.
But they've been selling each season as it goes along. What happened? Why are you throwing up?
Mike just lost it, mind you.
What?
What's wrong, Mike? Yes, it's well, the complete seven series.
Years. It's been 7 years, but they've been selling each year by itself.
It also comes with a truss to wear, so when you're carrying out a Best Buy, you don't blow out your O-ring and get a hernia trying to carry it to your car.
What Kevin is trying to ask is, are they also making Season 7 available individually?
I don't know.
No, but I'm also saying...
I'm just reading
a
list.
But I'm also saying I bought each season, you know, along the way, and now
good
they're going to...
Good for you. Well, you have them all. You already have them then.
But if they don't put
you're
7 out...
You're ahead of the curve. You've seen it all. You don't have to get the big box set of 45 discs. I'm just saying it's available if you haven't gotten anything. And James Bond, the Ultimate Collection, also available today. They've remastered and redigitized all the James Bond films over the past 40 years. And it's available in 2 10-disc sets, volumes 1 and 2. You can get all the James Bond movies ever made in one big collection.
Ralph, we're going to call, if we can get him, your pal Sean Connery in the next half hour.
Speaking of Bond.
Yes, with the Daniel Craig movie getting ready to come out and the word that I think you had that Diddy wants to be the first black Bond. We're going to talk to Mr. Connery about that later in the half hour.
Excellent. I'd be interested to hear what he has to say.
I'm sure it's all good.
Oh, he's a pleasant young man.
He's a delightful little fella.
That's Sean Connery. Today's celebrity birthday is Chris Knight, who played Peter Brady in the legendary The Brady Bunch, is 49 years old today. And Jeremy and Jason London, the acting London twins, both turned 34 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. I don't know if you saw the story, but Diddy has come out in the press and said that he wants to be the first black James Bond.
Yeah. What's up with that?
So we thought the only James Bond that we've ever had any contact with is Sean Connery. So we figured we would get his take on this. Good morning, Sean. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are you?
I'm
What's the problem now, Sean?
I'm so bored. I quit acting.
Sean,
I'm staying home with my wife. Sean. She's telling me to rake the leaves and mow the lawn.
Right.
It's bullshit.
But you're the one that didn't want to act anymore, right?
Yes, I know. I don't know what the thinking.
Okay.
I had it pretty sweet.
Sean, we have to watch our language on the radio.
I know you do, because you're a f***ing asshole.
No, it's not that, Sean. It's just that the radio here in America is governed by the Federal Communications Commission, and they won't let us...
Who governs it?
The Federal Communications Commission.
Oh, I see.
And they won't let us...
You said like a in your mouth.
It's early, Sean. Listen, all we're saying is if you would, please just try to watch your language, because we have some stuff we would like to talk to you about.
Well, excuse the... of me.
All right, Sean, first things first, what do you think of the new James Bond?
I think he's a big homo.
Big homo, okay. I certainly hope you saw in the news that Diddy has come out now and said that he wants to be the first black James Bond.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Diddy.
Diddy. Sean
Diddy,
Combs?
I'm not familiar. What?
P. Diddy, he's a rapper.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
Yeah.
Businessman. He's the one that used to date Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yes. Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy.
Same guy, yeah, that's right.
Who's the dog now, man?
that's the guy, right. Well, he, you know, does a little bit of acting. He was in that film Monsters Ball, and he says, hey, one day I hope there's going to be a black James Bond and that I get the opportunity to audition for it. He'd like to have that role one day.
Oh, for f***ing sake, that's the last thing we need is a black James Bond.
Why?
Oh, can you imagine that?
Well, I don't mind a black James Bond. I'm not a big fan of Diddy, but...
Mr. Bond, your usual vodka martini shaken, not stirred? No, I'll have a scotch and coke, please. No, I'll have Crevassier and milk.
Well, I think Sean Combs would do whatever the role required of him. I don't think he would try to change around the Bond legend.
You don't think he'd Negro it all up?
Well,
no, I don't.
So the first Bond who didn't tip. You imagine all the disappointed dealers in casinos all across Europe.
Well, that's true.
Bond wins big and doesn't throw the guy a kabox.
Yeah, well.
Then he goes over to have some chicken and waffles.
Oh, stop
oh,
it.
On,
what's wrong
Sean?
With you?
Oh, can that's you get a... me the NBA game on? That's watch a... that, the Shemenda Far.
That's an ugly stereotype, Sean.
No,
it's an ugly stereotype that you
Here's all I'm saying, Kevin, and tell me if you're with me or not. All those resources that we've been using to stop Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
We turn that attention to Skip Haines, and we stop him. We stop our next guest. We do whatever it takes to stop this guy in his tracks so he cannot continue to do what he's doing to us.
Do you have his Squeaky Deaky song? This is what we played last time he came on. This is a CD for dogs.
Squeaky Deaky.
I love my squeaky toy.
Skep is the co-creator of PetCDs.com.
It makes me jump for joy.
We weren't overwhelmingly kind to him last time he was on the air.
No, he did songs to make dogs happy. He did the Catatonic CD, which is cats singing. He has a Coco the Gorilla singing CD. He's got a CD with music from dolphins. And now I guess the new thing is, and when I saw the press release, I said, please tell me they're not going to, this is a joke, right? American Idol for Birds is what Skip Haynes has going on now. A competition for talented avian pets nationwide, ladies and gentlemen.
Skip. Are you there, Skip?
I are there.
You are there, okay.
Skip, what are you doing?
Just having an awful lot of fun.
What are you doing,
What are you
though?
Doing,
I mean, really,
Skip?
What are you doing?
But seriously, folks.
So you're doing an American Idol, but only for birds.
For birds, that's right. We are offering a recording contract to the winner and a ringtone cell phone contract also. And they will get all the rights and honors accrued to a recording contract. And we want people to send in videos and DVDs of their birds. Doesn't matter if it's a parrot or a cockatiel or a condor, whatever you have.
Let me ask this, Skip. Why can't we stop you? Why is it we keep having you on the show? We keep saying, don't do it. Please stop. And then you don't. Why don't you listen to us?
You can't stop it. It's unstoppable.
My God. Now, if it's going to be the American Idol for birds, you have to have one allegedly drunk judge, and you have to have a rude judge, and then you have to have a judge that used to play Bass and Journey. So hey, do you have that?
We're working at it, but it is L.A., so it's pretty easy to find those kind of folks.
Are they going to be people judges, or are they going to be bird judges?
No, they're going to be people judges because we are going to record songs with them. We will actually record a song around the birds and release
Skip.
It. So we will be back in February.
No.
Skip.
No.
Yes.
Do a lot of people have pet birds that sing?
Yes. Yes, there's like over 22 million people in the United States that have pet birds.
Do any of those birds sound good when they sing?
Well, you know, that was a funny thing. We've already signed a parrot to our label.
You signed a parrot to your label?
Yeah,
okay.
And we did a song called I'm a Green Chicken.
I think I have that one.
Yes, and that's Carla actually singing on the chorus. And
all right, well, you know what? Skip could explain it all day. Let's let our listeners decide if birds singing on record is something we need to hear. Here's a little taste of the duet, I think, with the parrot named Carla.
Coming out of that little green bird, she said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
What are you doing, Skip?
Hey, it's Carla.
What are you doing?
Carla. I got to tell you. She also liked Judy Garland, and we had to sing Judy Garland to her to get her cranked up to do her part. Yeah.
Skip, how much would it cost for us to pay you off so that you won't do this?
A lot. A lot.
You made a lot of money off your Songs to Make Dogs Happy CD. I mean, that was a big hit for you, right?
And that was bogus.
And what kind of reaction are you getting so far from bird owners?
Very good. People love their birds, and birds say some really, really, really crazy things. And there's birds that, like, whisper and have really deep voices. And although I do admit, when we recorded Carla, the first time you hear a parrot over speakers, it hurts.
Oh, no. It sounds great. It sounds really good. How can you not like that, for God's sake?
Is there any chance that one of these birds that comes in for a recording session will just go berserk and just claw your eyes out?
It's possible. It's definitely
just
possible.
Just peck your head to a nub.
Exactly. I guess that's
well,
really the only thing. That's the only thing we can help at this point.
Skip.
Is that somehow the birds kill you.
Skip just said it's a dangerous job and somebody has to do it. That's what we're here to tell you is no, somebody doesn't. Nobody has to do this.
Absolutely. We are forced to do this. It's a spiritual quest to get ever higher in the world of trying to work with animals.
But isn't the world sad enough without you contributing this, Skip?
Not
seriously.
Nearly. No.
Not nearly sad enough, but it's going to be.
Well, We fall for it every time when we see what Skip's got going on later on. This is the singing bird contest. If you do have a bird, we're not suggesting it, but you can go to petcds.com, petcds.com for more information, or call 323-822-1764.
And Skip went by this part pretty quickly, but you get a recording contract if you win and a ringtone contract.
That's right.
Because when my phone rings, this is what I want to hear. Wow.
And the album will be out in February 2007, the Bird Beat CD. Skip Haynes, co-creator of PetCDs.com, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it once again.
And stop Bye-bye. It. Thank you, Natalie. It is 7:55 now. We have Kelly Carlson.
Oh, yeah, you do.
From Nip Tuck. She's coming into the studio in a couple of minutes, but first it's time for Ralph Schubert.
Oh.
She's right next door here.
I know.
She is lovely and charming. Much better than you deserve.
Oh, that's true.
Did you talk to her already, Ralph?
I have. She's charming.
How come she's not in here and I'm looking at you? How's that working?
Because she can't stand to be with you any longer than she absolutely has to.
Yeah, that's true. There is
so
that.
She'll come in when she has to be on the radio, and okay. then she's going to just walk out.
Get a breath of fresh air.
In between, get some air, come back in. Yeah. You know, it's got to be rough to be as famous as Justin Timberlake. I'm thinking probably the worst part is you're at a nightclub. Let's say you're at Forbidden City in Hollywood.
Right.
And you're going at it with a brunette.
Sure.
And two fans catch you. And they ask you, what are you doing? You're cheating on Cameron. Cameron Diaz's girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's got to be bad, right?
Well, it's not good.
Well, it's worse for them than it is for Justin sometimes, because the girl turns around and it's Cameron Diaz. See, she had dyed her hair dark for a movie.
That's funny.
And they didn't recognize her. And she said, thanks for being so protective, but it's me. It's okay. Justin's all right. And then she said, apparently, to witnesses, to Justin, see, my girls are always watching, so you got to behave yourself.
Yeah, she had to be thrilled with that.
Yeah.
People are going to bust him out.
He can't get away with anything.
It's no kidding. Fun.
Oh, good times in the movies. Next summer's going to be good if you're a comic book geek like me. All superhero summer next year. Spider-Man 3 will be in early May.
Right.
Marvel Studios has just announced that Iron Man will be released just before Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, cool.
And then the next Incredible Hulk movie goes six weeks later after that. Good times. Also in the works from, I'm sorry?
A different director for The Incredible Hulk, I hope?
Yeah, different star, different director. I think it may be going right to DVD, actually.
Well, that's a good sign.
The new Hulk movie.
It must be good.
They do that with the best movies.
Marvel's announced it also has the following superhero films in the works. Captain America will finally get a big screen treatment. Nick Fury, Thor, and The Avengers all in the works as well.
I loved Thor.
Thor's great.
I don't know anything about Thor, but I love the name.
The Norse god of thunder.
I love the name. Awesome. I'm just saying. I don't
know. The Hammer of Asgard?
No.
Come on, Kevin.
Hammer of Ass. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hammer of Ass. He's buff.
He's buff.
All superheroes are buff, Mike. Also in the works for Marvel Studios, Ant-Man. Not kidding you. My favorite superhero of all, Ant-Man.
What's his power?
He's got the power of ants.
He can do what ants do in terms of lifting his weight and stuff, you know, 100 times his weight and stuff like that.
Yeah, but still. It's pretty weak.
That's bad.
Ant-Man.
It is a little bit, yeah.
Ant-Man.
You got Superman, you got Ant-Man.
Ant-Man.
He's a pain in the ass at a picnic, too.
They ran out of bugs over at Marvel's. Let's see what you got. Spider-Man. Jesus. Ant?
Hey, there's an ant right there. I see an ant on the table. How about that?
Paramount Pictures has announced they just picked up the novel A Jealous Ghost as a vehicle for Kirsten Dunst. They're going to put her in another movie. Apparently, the plot of the film is Dunst plays a young woman who is studying in London, and she starts a relationship with one of her professors, but then suddenly she starts seeing demons.
Excellent.
Turns out she's just looking in a mirror.
Oh!
So it's a little, it's a little anticlimactic, I guess, the movie at that point. Oh, never mind.
That's just me.
It's just me. Yeah.
I know this will fall on deaf ears because you've got your mind made up.
Then don't say it.
I saw the Marie Antoinette over the weekend, Ralph. And she is terrific in it. She's really good in it. She's a fine actress.
You done?
Yeah.
Brought to you by people who think Kirsten Dunst is a fine actress.
It's not a proposition. You can't vote for it.
I'm just telling
you.
Political announcements. I'm just tuning them right out.
She was great in that movie.
Brought to you by people
who
like actresses with bad teeth.
Not a good movie. She was very good in it.
Oh, that was your little Sofia Coppola friend who did that movie, isn't it? Isn't that
yes.
the magical Sofia Coppola?
Yes.
Not a good movie, huh?
Not a good movie. Absolutely not. The critics are right. It's not a good movie. It's beautiful to look at. It's a sumptuous film. And she's very good in it, but I would not recommend it.
I'm sorry. Did you just say it's a sumptuous film?
All right, you are officially gay.
It's a sumptuous
you
film.
You have crossed the line.
I'm just saying in terms of, you know, cinematography and the costuming and the props and everything
I'm
like that. It's a beautiful movie to look at.
The minute sumptuous left your lips, Your testicles dropped right off. That's all I'm saying.
It is that's the appropriate word to describe that movie.
How do you feel about homosexuality?
Very colorful.
Could you be any gayer?
It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs are in stores today. You can pick up Cars, the animated tale from Pixar about...
That was really gay.
Cars that talk. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, that looks good.
Beverly Hills 90210 finally on DVD. You can pick up season one today if you're so inclined. The West Wing, the complete series, is a 45-disc set that you can pick up.
I'll watch that this afternoon.
If you've never seen The West Wing, you just pick up that box, you take it home, you can see the whole thing. You know what I'm getting into now? I started, speaking of box sets, got me the Battlestar Galactica from Sci-Fi Channel.
I've heard a lot about that. I've never seen it. Pretty good, huh?
Good times. Let's check it out. So inclined.
Mm.
Wow, look at how gay we are. I am so gay with my gayness.
Me too. I'm a homo.
I think Battlestar Galactica is sumptuous, actually.
Sumptuous?
That's the only way
would
I can describe
it's a sumptuous
it, really.
TV show?
Sumptuous TV show. Yeah.
Sumptuous.
Guys, I'm not going to apologize for using the appropriate word to describe the look of the film. I'm just
You're making me gay. Just being in your presence.
James Bond.
Oh, Bean. I wish I knew how to quit you.
James Bond, the Ultimate Collection, also available today. It's all the Bond movies in two box sets, volumes one and two, 10-disc set each. So you can pick those up if you've never seen a James Bond movie and you want to check those out. But no, they've redone them, they've remastered them, and it's digital sound and picture now, so you can check that
out. Are they sumptuous?
They're not sumptuous, no. I don't think I've ever used the word sumptuous, ever.
Sumptuous is a strictly homosexual word.
Even having a meal that would probably be described as sumptuous? I don't think I've ever said it.
No.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah. It is. It's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. It's a word you cannot use. And lastly, the best news of the day. I just have to repeat it. I did this story earlier today, but I can't get enough of it. Kevin Federline played a gig in New York City over the weekend at Webster Hall. This was the show that had been reported was going to be canceled due to poor ticket sales. But no, the show went on, according to someone who works for Webster Hall, because Federline begged them not to cancel it. So they left the doors open. A club that holds 1,500 people, 300 showed up.
Oh, man.
But at least they got their money's worth because K-Fed was scheduled to go on at 7 p.m., and he went on at 10.
Oh.
So 300 people in an empty theater waiting for 3 hours for Federline to come on
stage. Why would he
do
that to the poor 300 people who showed up?
Because he was waiting for more people to come. He was hoping more fans would show up and fill the seats.
Dude, he could have waited a year, and he couldn't have filled that place up.
The good news is his show... is a half an hour.
He stopped after a half an hour, after making them wait for three.
Audience member said the show was mercifully short. He rapped for about a half an hour, but seemed really confused about how to act on stage. He would pace from one side of the stage to the other and say things like, hey, 30 times in a row. So that's what you missed if you weren't at the Webster Hall this weekend. Today's celebrity birthday is Chris Knight, who played Peter Brady in The Brady Bunch, also My Fair Brady over there on VH1 with his lovely wife,
Adriana Curry.
49 sure years old today. And the London twins, Jeremy and Jason, both fine actors, 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know it's election day. I want to vote for that lady right there. I'm going to write her in for whatever she wants to have as a job. It's yours. Kelly Carlson, ladies and gentlemen, is here from the TV show Nip Tuck on FX. New episodes Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. How are you, my dear?
I am great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. We're so excited to have you here, and you're telling us that you got people on the set that, of course, you're not working right now because you're with us, but you got people listening. People know you're on the air today.
I believe everybody from Nip Tuck is listening, so good morning and hello.
We had Julian in before. He's really cool.
Yeah, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a fun guy.
He's a fun guy. It's an amazing show, and we were just talking off the air about how the ratings work, and they go up and down. And last year was a little rough, and then this year the rebound has been great.
Mm-hmm. Well, we kind of got back on track this year, I think, with our storylines and kind of the tone of the show.
Right. I mean, you had Rosie O'Donnell doing that sex scene, and that was probably a ratings juggernaut.
She's great, though. She's so fun.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw people throwing TVs out of seven-story apartment building windows when that sex scene was on.
No.
How did that, if you know, and I know this wasn't your scene or anything like that, your character, but how did something like that happen? How did Rosie O'Donnell end up on a show like that? A show that's about physical perfection. How do they go so far awry, so far in the opposite direction?
You know,
we're not big fans. I should say that up front of hers. No.
Really?
No, God, no.
Do you know her?
No, of course not. We make up our minds just based on, you know, what we
I'm
see.
I'm a very opinionated person as well and a little judgmental.
Right.
She's great.
Is she?
She really is one of the warmest people I've ever
on
met.
On TV? She's
Did she try to adopt you?
She's inspired by demons when she goes on TV then.
But, you know, she's, you know what I mean? That's her thing.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's not my thing.
Right.
It's
but
all right.
I'm telling you, if you were sitting in a room with her, she is such a kind person. And I mean, she is a little crass, and she's loud, but she really... is cool.
No.
I mean, really?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm
I can't
sorry.
Convince you.
And I have nothing to base it on, but I'm still saying no.
Okay. I like her a lot.
Let's talk about Kimber Henry, who is your character on the show. For folks who don't know Nip Tuck, tell us about you and tell us what her interaction is with these doctors.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Because there are people who may tune in to Nip Tuck tonight for the first time just based on hearing you on the radio.
Kimber has had relationships with every man on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But she's in love with Dr. Troy, Julian McMahon's character. And she's a little nuts, but she has a good heart, and she always means well, but she has such a low self-esteem, and she kind of hides behind facades, and she pretends like she's someone she's not. She's very sexually driven.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
That we approve of.
Yes. And she tends to fall in love with the wrong man, and it's just, there's so many storylines with Kimber. I literally play Kimber every year, but I'm playing a different character every year. She's been a porn director.
Porn director, now she found God,
now
sort
she's
of
a
God.
Scientologist.
Yeah.
And that's off the wall, and yeah. I mean, she's just nuts.
Let me play that clip. This is you and Dr. Christian, and you're talking about your religion.
I found something much more compatible with my core values.
Kitty porn. Oh, yeah. That's almost 18. He must be talking about that brain suck you convinced him to join.
It's a religion, Christian. I needed something spiritual.
Oh, that's bullshit. You know it.
Dude, it's as open-minded as we are. has the hammer of Scientology come down on you for whatever portrayal you're about to make of this character in this religion?
You know, not that I know of. But I also haven't portrayed Scientology in a bad light. Tonight might be different, actually.
Excellent. Good.
Tonight might go down a different
We've had our run-ins with the, quote, Church of Scientology, and they're not pretty.
Really?
Yeah, you might want to hire security after tonight.
I know.
They're going to end up to, somebody's going to jump out of a car and grab you and throw you in the back of a van with no windows and take you deep underground at the Scientology building in Hollywood, and they're going to do some splaining to you.
You'll be in a boat, you know, out in the Atlantic Ocean, rowing. I don't know what you do out there.
I don't understand Scientology. I just say my lines.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good because, and by the way, how could anyone do more damage to Scientology than Tom Cruise? So... she's fine. Anybody else that doesn't Tom Cruise it up, you know, come on.
I have no opinions.
Oh, Kelly. You don't have to be that afraid of him.
Kelly would like to work again in this town, Kelly.
Exactly.
Come on. We don't have to
Thank
worry
you.
About that. She does.
Okay.
Tell me about the life-size doll of you. Tell me about that in detail.
Yes, in detail.
We want every detail. I have her still. Mm-hmm. And
oh, you got to keep the prop?
Yeah. Oh,
Can
yeah,
we
no,
have
I'll
her? Would you mind if we had her?
Well,
I'll give you $100. Bean, how much?
Listen.
$1,000.
$1,000 each of us. Yes.
Listen, though. Have you seen the Real Sex episode?
Yes.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about.
Think
where
so.
The Kimber doll comes from.
Oh, no. I don't think I saw that one.
A place called Real Sex, and they had it on HBO.
Okay. You mean the series Real Sex?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
okay.
On
I
Real
see.
Sex, but it's called Real Doll. Sorry. I was getting confused.
Okay.
Real Doll. On Real Sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down there and had the doll made and this and that. But I have to say, when I was watching it on TV, I thought, well, this is kind of a, like, I'm open-minded to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of cool. Like, you know, maybe if your husband's gone or, you know, man, it's okay. Well, now that when I got the doll, it's so cryptic that you might think it's kind of a cool idea until...
What do you mean cryptic?
It's she weighs 130 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
She's very real, but very kind of dead.
Well, yeah, it's
a
doll.
No.
I mean, I don't expect
alive,
her to be alive.
Right?
No, but it's too real. It's too...
Okay,
it's
$3,000.
It's creepy. It's so...
$1,500 each.
No. Okay.
Kelly, what do you do with the real doll of you? Because I know what I would do with it, and you don't have that.
Yeah, good point. I don't have that.
So where is it
Sometimes
in your house?
I wish I did. You know, right now I have her in an art storage, but I normally keep her in my living room. But she nearly killed my housekeeper because...
How did she do that? She come to life?
No. My housekeeper walked in. I forgot to tell her Kimber was out, and she freaked out. She started crying, and she called the police.
Because she thought you were dead and standing up?
Yeah.
Really? She
For
thought
real.
You were dead?
For real. It really scared her.
$5,000.
I know. So I just, but she's, I also moved, and she weighs 130 pounds, so I have her in an art storage.
Well, that's not acceptable for
her.
She needs to breathe. She needs the fresh air.
I know. But my mother keeps clothes on her. Like, my mom doesn't want me to have, like, her be in underwear because she doesn't want anyone to violate her, you know, so.
$6,000. That's her last offer. All right, Kelly Carlson is here. Nip Tuck is the show. It's on Tuesday nights at 10 on FX. And can you stick around for one more?
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Of
stick around. We've had so many guests through the years here at K-Rock in the studios. And Psycho Mike has never once asked them if they need any water or coffee.
He won't even look at him in the eye usually. And he's all up Kelly Carlson's ass. Hey, what can I get for you? Hey, would you like some coffee? Hey, let me go get some water. Hey, let me drive to Arizona and buy you a hot dog. Whatever you need. Unbelievable.
Right.
Hey, Kelly Carlson is here. She is delightful in person and just scary as hell on the hit show Nip Tuck with a new episode tonight at 10 o'clock on FX. Where are we? How many shows left in the season, by the way? I get nervous when I know a lot of new episodes have been on. I'm always afraid that it's almost over.
Gosh, I don't even know what number we're on. We're on like 10 or... That's terrible.
Are you on the show?
Am I on?
Yeah, are you really on the show? Because you don't seem to have very much information.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in general.
I'm impostering. Yes. But, you know, I haven't been on it a whole lot this year.
Like, well, your character kind of comes in and out of their universe, right?
Yeah, she does. And she's usually a little bit heavier at the end. But tonight's a big episode for me, and I'm really nasty.
Excellent.
And it was really fun to do. I was really, really mean. But, yeah, a lot of things happened tonight.
Well, if a lot of things happened tonight, then we should definitely tune in. I didn't know you were going to be that kind of detail.
Yeah, I'm really good at promoting my things, aren't I?
Just back off on the details. We can't take that much.
Yeah,
too many spoilers. What are the, you're a small town Minnesota girl who, and it's almost the cliche that you take the bus and they let you off at Hollywood and Vine and you're going to make it in showbiz, you know, but I know you worked hard to get here and to be on this show and everything, but what do the folks back home think of you, you know, whoring it up out in Hollywood? That's sure how they look at it, but I mean, it has to be, it can't be a career choice that a lot of girls from your high school in, you know, Bloomington, Minnesota made. What's it like for the folks back home to see out here and on the TV?
Well, they're very proud, but also it was very much an adjustment because of Nip Tuck, because of how graphic it is,
and
how sexually explicit it's been. It's been hard.
Yeah, they wanted you to get on like 2.5 Men or something, right? I mean, that was their dream, right?
My mom was so happy when The Marine came out because there was no nudity and no sex. She was like, this is the best movie ever made. You know, it was an adjustment, but you know, once we won the Golden Globe, then they were all very proud.
Really? No kidding. Yeah. They needed that award, though,
they
to make sure.
They kind of did.
I have an email from K-Rock listener Peter, and he says, Kelly, why do you hate freedom?
What?
Meaning, why are there no naked pictures of you on the web? Doesn't your body deserve to be free? That's what Peter wrote.
Really?
I'm just...
You know,
Do you hate freedom, indeed? Is that the truth?
I love freedom.
Love freedom.
And I feel very free.
Okay.
I've just chosen not to pose nude. I've been asked several times. I have nothing against women that do it at all. Maybe I will someday, but I think with Nip Tuck on the air being so sexual, I don't
need to do that.
I don't need to do that, and it's also a private thing for me. I don't think any... Would you want your wife to pose for Playboy and have every man go, you know, I saw her her crotch? I mean, truthfully, would you want...
No,
no,
I don't think
wouldn't.
So.
Yeah.
But I want somebody... How about somebody hotter, though?
But I want you to. That's
yeah, exactly. My point is, I think it's very private, and I think it'd be hard for a man. I mean, maybe the novelty's cool to some men, but I think, like, if it really comes down to it.
Sorry, K-Rock listener Peter, not going to happen.
Sorry, Peter. Right. Maybe.
Kelly,
you never know.
No. I love you, but you're wrong on this. I'm sorry, Peter. If what you're saying is no, you shouldn't pose, no, you're wrong. You're wrong about that.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I maybe someday I'll go crazy and want to strip off and run down the street naked and take pictures.
But
don't wait till
and be like Cindy Margolis, though, and say, I'm not going to pose, not going to pose, not going to pose, not going to pose, not going to pose for 30 years in a row. And then when you're like 60, go, yeah, okay.
I feel primed and ready.
Yeah,
now I'm ready to do it.
I doubt it.
Do you need anything, by
like
the way?
That.
Are you okay?
No,
the water's
good,
got you? Okay, you don't need like an arugula salad or rack of lamb? Okay.
Let me
know.
Did you just offer her a rack of lamb?
Let me ask you one more thing. And again, if you're just joining us, the lovely actress Kelly Carlson is in our studio. Nip Tuck is the show tonight at 10 on FX. And Kelly tells us that lots of stuff happens, so you really should tune in. I heard from somebody that you... What do you think I'm going to ask?
That's never the beginning of a good sentence. I heard from somebody, right?
Too many demons.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I heard from somebody that you have some sort of connection to the other side. Some sort of...
Ghosts.
You talk to ghosts?
I don't talk to them. I just grew up with them.
You grew up with ghosts?
Yeah. Yeah, and currently... And I know still... people think I'm crazy.
No, that sounds perfectly normal.
No, that's normal. it's true.
What do you mean you grew up with them? What was your first few experiences?
I just had a lot of bizarre things happen growing up. A lot of things moving, people. And I thought I was a little nuts at first when I was like in my early teens.
Were you afraid to tell people because they would think you're crazy?
Yeah, and I went to Catholic schools and stuff, and my dad thought I was totally off the wall until... like family and friends started seeing the same thing I did at the same time.
No kidding.
And like boyfriends, my boyfriend Joe was with from 12 to 22, he used to make fun of me until things would happen. And then he would be out the door so fast. I mean, people would be so scared because you would see people. And you know, when you're in a room with someone else, there's no denying it. It's, and I wouldn't believe it either. Like, I'm not that kind of person to believe that. But I just grew up with it all the time. And things fly. I mean,
she has your life. Bean wants your life. He wants to see ghosts.
No, you don't.
I very much want to.
No, you don't.
I do.
Really don't
want to.
Really?
It's not fun?
You break out into this burning hot sweat, and the hairs stand up in the back of your neck. And
stop it.
What does that mean?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Never mind.
Wait, Kelly, I want to make sure I understand. You're not talking about just seeing ghosts in one place, like in your house.
No.
And you're talking about you travel and they're with you?
Oh,
like in a hotel or in a restaurant or whatever?
Not in a restaurant. But hotels, I went to, and this is my favorite hotel, so I don't mean to say anything bad about it. I went to Las Ventanas in Cabo, and my boyfriend and I were woken up by this man. I thought someone had broken into our room, and you rarely see someone head to toe. You usually see him, like, waist up or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he was standing like this, and his jaw was clenching.
Yeah.
He had a plaid shirt on. It scared the hell out of us, because he was so clear, and I really thought someone broke into our room. And so I told the guy, whatever, but no, it happens all the time.
And your boyfriend saw him too?
Mm-hmm. Yep. One time we woke up with beach towels on our head and placed in between our legs. What is this music?
Halloween.
Dude, this is kind of creeping me out because you seem so serious about it, like you're not lying here.
No, I'm really not lying. I wish I was because...
I didn't know you were out of your mind when you came in. I wish I would have known that.
We just thought you were hot. We didn't know you were crazy.
Look, I could be completely off the wall, but... so many people have experienced it with me.
But isn't it weird that a lot of people, myself included, have gone through my whole life without seeing him?
Yeah.
And then it happens to you all the time.
Well, here's
why are you so lucky?
That's not lucky because it scares the hell out of you. Excuse my language. I'm a little more used to it, but you never really get used to it. And I don't know why. I don't talk to them.
Because ghosts want to hang out with hot chicks. You can hardly blame them, right?
You know what I said in an interview? I always think about, like, if I see a man, I always think, well, this is like someone's dad or brother, and they think they're in heaven, but they're in my living room.
Right.
Like,
that
what
is heaven.
That?
Do you start yelling?
Yeah, that is heaven. That's good. You're quick on your feet.
Do you start yelling at them to go into the light? Or
I don't say that because I don't understand
it.
I don't know what, I just know.
Have you ever tried to walk up and touch?
No, because it's so hard to explain. It's like.
Have you ever had a psychological test?
Yes, my father actually had me when I was younger.
That was a joke.
I didn't realize
she was going to say yes.
Because I'll tell you, when I was 12, I was having, I could go into several stories, but I really, my father thought
we'll
I was like
that for
little
dinner.
Nuts.
we'll save that for dinner,
right?
And my father brought me to have that because he thought like I was hallucinating.
No
or something.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
And really, cool. You guys, why did
you're
I
hot and you're crazy. This is great.
Well,
that's why I'm on Nip Tuck.
Yeah, exactly.
I see a return visit of Kelly Carlson on the Kevin and Bean Show because
with
I suspect
friends.
We have plenty more to talk about. Yeah, bring the ghosts.
Yeah, next time, next have to talk to them ahead of time and
bring.
Bring some
entourage.
In.
Yes. They're all
seriously.
That's awesome.
Kelly can currently be seen on the big screen. She mentioned the movie The Marine. That's out with that crazy John Cena guy. That's in theater. Nip Tuck, of course, which has just had a terrific season on the FX network. By the way, I only wish, if I had a wish, that it was on HBO. You know what I'm saying? God bless FX for putting the show on. But You know, there's a few more inches here and there we could see if it were on HBO.
Right, right.
FX, 10 o'clock tonight, brand new episode. Kelly, it's delightful to meet you. Thank you so much for coming.
Too.
I enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
So you're saying you're going to miss the phone calls and the TV ads and the people knocking on your doors to try to get you to vote the way they want you to vote today?
I'm so glad this is Election Day because now we can watch TV without both sides claiming that the other side is bad. And, oh, my God, I hate politics.
I was up at the supermarket yesterday. This is Bean speaking. And this smoking hot chick comes up. And she's it's pouring rain here in Seattle yesterday. And she's under an umbrella. And she's got a little clipboard. And she walks up to me as I'm getting ready to walk into the supermarket. She says, hey, I'd like to talk to you a minute about this proposition. Something, I don't know, some freaking thing having to do with a public utility commissioner. I don't even know what she was talking about. I stood there for like 15 minutes talking to her. She was so hot. I have no idea what we even talked about, but I just couldn't believe this woman was so hot and she was out there electioneering the day before the vote, right?
So I'm you like, don't even know what the issue was?
It's some sort of having access to money to petition for a utility council. I don't even know what it was, but I was just like, oh, I hadn't heard about that. Tell me more.
Really? Tell me more.
Why do you think that's a good idea? What will happen if we don't vote for that? I just kept asking all of these questions, and she walked away, and I'm sure she felt like she made a difference.
Sure, but
she made a difference in my pants, but in terms of how I'm going to vote today, I don't know.
All the TV commercials, all the radio commercials just driving me out of my mind.
Even right up until, and by the way, I didn't know you were allowed to do this because today's election day. Today is the day you're voting, but they're still sending commercials over. We just got a new batch of the latest commercials that they're trying to run on K-Rock this morning to try to influence people voting.
Well, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, this is their last shot because, as you said, today is election day, and the first one is a pro Arnold Schwarzenegger commercial, and this is what it is.
Today, you're being asked to vote for governor. Do you know what the governor's second in command is called? It's not the vice governor. It's the lieutenant governor. I guess that means the governor's the general governor, isn't he? And who better to be a general than Arnold Schwarzenegger? Have you ever seen him with a gun in his hand? He looks f-ing cool. So who would you rather have as general governor? Arnold Badass Schwarzenegger or Phil Angelides? Sounds like a pussy, doesn't he? That's one thing California doesn't need, a pussy governor. Vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Brought to you by people who think the governor should look good with a gun in his hand and Phil's a pussy name.
I wasn't aware there was a committee like that, but they got my vote.
But the Democratic Party sent over another one to react to that. So
Phil Angelides wants to be your governor. Why should you vote for Phil Angelides? Well, the answer's right there in his name, Angelides. The first part of the name, Angel. That's right. Phil Angelides just may have been sent from heaven. It's right there in his name. Now let's look at Schwarzenegger. What's a nigger? We don't know, but it sounds pretty close to something that's really, really bad. Who would you rather have as your governor, an angel or a nigger? The choice is simple. Phil Angelides for governor.
Brought to you by people who think you can learn a lot about somebody by the words you can find in their names.
All right, now I've switched my vote. Now I'm voting for Phil.
Oh, man, that's the thing. Everyone you hear, you go, well, that must be the person I need to vote for. Now, Cruz Bustamante.
He's running for insurance commissioner.
Yes, he's the guy who said that he was fat, and that's why you should vote for him. So this is the commercial for him.
Cruz Bustamante used to be fat, but now he's not. Okay, he's a little fat, but he's much thinner than he used to be. And have you seen how he dresses lately? Really spiffy. And have you ever smelled Cruz Bustamante?
No.
Sumptuous. Cruz Bustamante is clean, well-dressed, and is losing more weight as we speak. Isn't that what you want in an insurance commissioner? Or would you rather have a sloppy, fat, stinky insurance commissioner that you can't stand to look at? The choice is yours. Vote for Cruz Bustamante.
Brought to you by California voters who went, wow, Cruz, you look great. You lost a lot of weight.
I didn't realize that was an organized group.
Well, if he's clean, I'm going to vote for Cruz.
But he's running against Poizner, and we have the commercial for that.
Steve Poizner wants your vote for insurance commissioner. Steve's a hardworking family man, successful businessman, well-educated, and has never taken any campaign contributions from the insurance industry. But most importantly, Steve Poizner is the same weight that he was in high school. That's right. Steve never had to lose any weight. He's always been thin. No yo-yo diets for Steve. Steve is trim and fit. Suck on that, fat boy. Vote Steve Poizner for insurance commissioner.
Brought to you by California voters who can't believe now we're talking about how much somebody weighs when we're voting for insurance commissioner.
All right, Poizner's got my vote.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Britney Spears laying down the law for her husband Kevin Federline.
Don't we get this story about every day?
This is the ultimatum, though. This is it.
This time she means it.
Stop partying, help with the babies, or else.
Or else...
What? In Touch Magazine reports, Brittany says to Kevin, excuse me, I'm tired of you being out all the time. Stop it, or I'll stop you.
Wow. What's she going to do, like cut a rope and a safe's going to fall on him or something?
She's going to just cut off the funding, I'm guessing. He doesn't really have a lot of money.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. I got you. She said she doesn't want to end their marriage, but she'll do whatever it takes to take care of their sons, except, of course, to put them in car seats.
Right. Yeah. Not that.
You won't do that.
Anything else.
You won't go to those long lengths.
Those extreme
lengths. Won't not drop them in the sidewalks in New York, but other than that, she'll do anything to protect those kids.
Guys, no one would blame her if she left Kevin Federline at this point.
I blame her for not leaving him so far.
Yeah. She was on the Letterman show last night. She did a walkout a bit with about Will Ferrell, and she looks fantastic. I mean, she has dropped all that baby weight. She's starting to get back to video weight. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's because she's going back to work. She has to.
Yeah.
You know why she was in New York? It's because K-Fed was playing Webster Hall over the weekend. Had his big New York City show debut. Webster Hall, which holds 1,500 people.
I heard
big venue for a show.
Sales
like
were not that good, though. I thought that was going to be canceled.
No. He sold 300 tickets
out of 1,500.
Yeah,
well, that's like a couple of rows in the front.
Oh, no, that's a fifth. That's a fifth of that house was sold out.
Damn, indeed.
That's not good.
They were going to cancel, but he begged them not to. Literally.
Let me play to those few people.
An employee at Webster Hall told Star Magazine he had to fight with them to keep this concert. He was scheduled to go on at 7 o'clock, but he made the crowd that did show up wait for 3 hours in hopes that more would appear.
3 hours they had to wait.
Finally went on stage, he did a half an hour set, then that was it. So, good times. Good times for the people at Webster Hall. Did you see Russell Crowe on 60 Minutes?
I did not, no.
Good interview. Interesting stuff.
Did he hit anyone with a phone?
Guy. I wish they had talked more about his career, because these guys had an amazing career. But all they really focused on was sort of the salacious details of his
personal
violent behavior and that kind
That's
of stuff.
That's all I care about.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating because he really is one of the best actors of all time. And I don't, even with the awards he's gotten, I still don't think he gets the acclaim he deserves.
He talked about how difficult it was dealing with his most recent arrest here in the States for throwing that telephone at that dude's head.
Sure.
And he said, you know, I think he's got a point. The paparazzi kind of overreacted in terms of his appearance at that Manhattan courtroom. Because as he said, it was a $136 fine. That's what he ended up paying for. And there were 400 people outside there taking his picture and shooting video. He thought it was a little overkill.
Sure.
Because in Australia, they don't react quite that way. So when he asked about the incident, he said, where I come from, a confrontation like that, as basic and simple as that, would have been satisfied with a handshake and apology. Your U.S. legal system is very open to be misused, because the guy sued him, of course. That's what he's talking about. But it doesn't mean you can throw things at people's heads.
No, not really.
In Compton, to be settled with a gunshot. But it doesn't mean, you know, you can't just whatever neighborhood you grow up in, that's how you settle things. Apparently do it in Australia. You're here now. Don't throw things at people's heads.
You know what he did say, Ralph, and I'm sure you reacted to this well as an actor as well. He lives in the moment. He's a guy who really doesn't plan things out ahead. He reacts at the moment that something happens. And he says, that's the quality I have that makes me a good actor, I think. Mm-hmm. But it also gets me in trouble in real life because I really am kind of in the moment at all times, which I thought was an interesting observation.
Grow up. Do that on the set. Use that. A lot of great actors are able to not throw things at people's heads.
That's true.
Laurence Olivier never once hit a guy with a phone. You know, Dustin Hoffman, I don't ever see him punching some guy in the bathroom because he made fun of his poetry.
Yeah,
I just think
true.
There's ways you can work around it. You can massage that sort of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not him, though.
You can. You don't have to knee a guy in the groin like the Raiders did last night.
That was awesome.
That was pretty awesome, yeah.
It was like two minutes left.
My bad.
He kneed him in the groin.
I'm frustrated.
Thrown out.
Yeah, so you can just control those impulses is what I'm saying.
I don't feel great about, even with his track record, I don't feel great about this new Russell Crowe movie, this one where he goes and, like, inherits the vineyard. Do you guys feel good about
that? Or whatever? It's a chick.
Yeah.
It's for the ladies.
I'm not interested.
And tonight is part 27 of Entertainment Tonight's Anna Nicole Smith interview. They're giving us about 8 words a night, I think. That's how they're breaking it down, basically.
They do, yeah.
Mark Steinis looks very concerned. Anna, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready, Mark.
Anyway, last night she was on again, talking about the brutal, crippling pain of the cesarean section. As you know, one of the most painful of all medical procedures.
Don't they
numb you from the waist down?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They can't feel a thing, right?
Is that.
They just cut you and lift the baby out. It doesn't. Right. You don't squeeze it out or anything like that. There's nothing to it, right?
Well, not according to our girl Anna.
I actually thought I was dying. I thought I was going to die. It felt like God and Jesus were like ripping my insides out of my body, and like the devil was like yanking my insides from my legs, and we're playing tug of war. If you can imagine that.
No. Why would God and Jesus be ripping your insides out?
What in God's name is she talking about?
It's not in their character at all, is it? God and Jesus to rip out your insides?
Wait, if God and Jesus are on the insides, why do you need the devil to also be pulling on the feet of the baby or whatever is going on?
Because it's a tug of war.
That's right. They were fighting over it.
It is the endless struggle of good versus evil, Bean.
That's what was going on as they were lifting out the baby from her stomach?
That's awesome.
Yes. Anna Nicole Smith is exploring the same themes as Dante did in his famous Inferno. That's, you know, she's deep.
Reportedly, the kid came out and said,
"You're dead to me."
That's right.
She is priceless, isn't she?
She is. I love her. I love her more and more every
day. Well, tonight, Mark Steinis will ask two questions.
Yes.
There's more tonight.
There's more tonight. I'm telling you, it's like a 27-part series.
Mark Steinis will say, "Anna, are you ready?" And then she'll say yes. And then he'll say, "Who is the father of your baby?" So maybe she'll have something to say about that.
Geez, I wonder what she's going to answer.
She's going to lie like she did before, allegedly.
Who's the father? Father is Jesus and God and the devil, if you can imagine that.
Shut up. Today's celebrity birthday is Chris Knight from the Brady Bunch. He was Peter Brady. You know, it's he's one of the few actors who have played Peter Brady. Of course, I'm one of the others.
Sure, yeah.
There's only a few of us.
Ralph actually toured with that,
played
right?
Peter Brady. I was in the real live Brady Bunch. I toured around the country as Peter Brady. It's a small group. It's just a handful. It's a brotherhood. A brotherhood.
Is that right?
That's what we call it. Yeah. We
is
get
he
together.
Like,
we have dinners and that kind of
is
stuff.
Is he like the Pope of Peter Brady?
Oh, sure. He's the king. He's the king of the Peters. Right. But then the rest of us are sort of Peter Miners.
Do you feel he was the best at the role, Ralph?
Well, that's really not for me to say.
He defined the role.
That's for, you know, historians to choose, to decide.
There's no historian that's going to decide
I'm sure the history books will finally decide.
No one cares
who
was
the best Peter when it looked back at with some, you know, some perspective. It's a little too close, I think, now to call.
Yeah, I understand.
Now, I don't think so.
Yeah. And Jeremy and Jason London, those London twins, they're dreamy. They're sumptuous.
I
like to think of them.
Bean used the word sumptuous earlier today. We're still troubled by that.
I'm standing by it as the appropriate word.
I know. That's the most troubling part of all, I think, is that you will not relinquish sumptuous. They're 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, sometimes you find a TV show that you think is awesome and you can't believe everybody else is not watching. I've not run into really anyone else that watches Dexter. It's a new series on Showtime. And a lot of people say they don't have Showtime. A lot of people. And that show is so awesome. It stars Michael C. Hall, and he's the guy who was in 6 Feet Under, if you remember.
He was the younger brother, Peter Krause's younger brother in 6 Feet Under. He's a terrific actor. I've heard nothing but great things about this show, but, you know.
So great.
So much time. There's so many shows, you can't watch them all.
It's my favorite show so far this season. He plays a serial killer. He is an actual killer, but his foster father, when he was younger, taught him to use it for good.
Kills only bad guys?
Yes, his foster father taught him you can use this against bad guys. Find people who, you know, slip through the system. Somebody got away with rape or somebody got away with murder or something. For some reason, the system was unable to put him away.
And no wonder you love this show. You're the king of vigilante justice.
And he works as a forensic specialist. He's a blood spatter specialist. So he can go to the scene and look at how the blood is on the wall, on the floor, on the carpet, and tell you exactly what happened. Who was stabbed where, and then he fell back this way, and then he went that way. So he's on the scene for all of these different cases. And when he sees somebody who slips through the cracks, he kills them. He tapes them to a table with duct tape and takes a saw to them. It's really dark, but it's awesome. But I've had this really bizarre feeling that it reminds me of somebody. Who does it remind me of? Dexter, serial killer. He's a loner. My partner Bean. That's it. That's who he reminds me of. He reminds me of you. So they're looking for the ice truck killer. This is a guy who abducts people, puts them in an ice truck, and then cuts them up and drains their blood and leaves them all over Miami. It's a show that shot
Miami. I can see why that reminds you of me, because I do that all the time.
But that's what I'm saying is somebody needs to check. That's my point. So they're talking about the ice truck killer, and the woman who's in charge of the meeting is pointing out who it is. And then Dexter's sister, who is also on the force, doesn't agree with it. And then he says his line, which I think sounds a lot like Bean.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I give you Tony Tucci, the ice truck killer.
Of course, I agree with my sister, but unlike her, I'm not upset. He's still out there, and I'm waiting. Breathless.
He's so excited about catching this guy because he respects him as a serial killer. He's just out of his mind. But he doesn't feel things that everybody else feels. Everybody else in the meeting feels, you know, they're scared, they hate, they want to get this guy. And he's excited. That's, if nothing else, that's you, Bean.
I'm
the opposite emotion of every other person in the room.
I'm glad to see there's somebody on the show with his head screwed on straight who's got the mission in mind.
So now he's walking down the beach and he says something that's very Bean-esque as he's looking at the people rollerblading and whatnot.
I find people around me are all making some kind of connection, like friendship or romance. But human bonds always lead to messy complications. Commitment, sharing, driving people to the airport.
Yeah.
Besides, if I let someone get that close, they'd see who I really am. And I can't let that happen.
Seriously.
Well, people are overrated.
Seriously. Who's more that way than Bean? So the dog is barking next door, and he goes over to take care of that.
You can't help but notice your dog cries a lot.
I know. My ex moved out and left his dog. Trust me, I wish there was something I could do.
Look, we'd really appreciate it if you could find a way to keep him quiet.
Remember when you had the chicken killed? You remember that on your island?
I didn't have the chicken killed.
Rock, rock, rock. And then Bean's like, oh, I can't sleep. And you went over and you said, would you please take care of the chicken? And the guy killed it. Do you remember
the guy
that?
Took care of the chicken. Look, that wasn't my intention at all, but I did listen to it was a rooster, and I did listen to him crow round the clock for about 2 years before I wrote a strongly worded letter.
So it happened, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now they're in a park, and they're looking for evidence, and this guy's sister, Dexter's sister, who's on the force, she recognizes the park, and she wants to ask him a question.
Hey, didn't Dad bring us here once when we were kids?
I don't remember.
Doesn't remember when he was a kid.
Oh.
Hey, wait a minute. Bean doesn't remember anything before 15 years old.
Oh, come on!
What's up with that? So he's got a hot chick girlfriend who's effed up in the head, and she is dressed up for Halloween as Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. And she's sitting on his lap. She's got her hair in the ponytail like that, and she's got a black bra on, and she's sitting in his lap, and she's trying to get really sexy with him. And he says that he's a little bit disoriented. He's thinking about work.
There's a case I just can't seem to get out of my mind.
Maybe I can help.
No, I'm afraid there's nothing you can do.
Oh, I don't know. There's all sorts of things I can do.
She gets on her knees.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
In his defense, women are icky.
She's on her knees, and he doesn't recognize that. So she completes that act, and now she's talking to him, and she wants a little bit of a deeper emotional connection with him.
Have you ever longed for anything like that?
She wants something from me ever since the job. She assumes we've taken it to the next level. She doesn't know yet. I don't have a next level.
Boom! That's so Bean. Who doesn't have a next level more than Bean? So then they're at a funeral. Last two clips. They're at a funeral, and he sees them all crying, and they're all upset. But it doesn't affect him in any way.
That must be what love looks like. The inability to feel has its advantages.
Boom!
This guy's effed up, man.
He's way you.
He's way effed up, though.
Yes, he is. And then they do a flashback to his foster father who teaches him to use his serial killing for good. And this girl comes over. She's a pretty cute girl. And she starts talking to him while he's mowing the lawn. And he doesn't pick up on the fact that she wants him to ask her to the dance. So his foster dad tells him, hey, idiot, she wanted you to dance.
She wanted you to ask her to the dance, Dexter.
That's not what she said.
Well, you have to learn their signals.
Yeah, well, I don't really care about girls. I just like being alone.
Boom. Well, I'm saying the authorities need to check your basement for bodies that are drained of blood.
Dude, it's just
I'm
a
saying
TV
that
show.
All of the things that he says come out of your mouth at some other point in your life.
I think there are some similarities, but not all the killing, though. I'm not doing all the killing.
How do we know? That's my point.
It's too much work.
How do we know that? I'm going to call the authorities. Expect a knock on your door within 15 minutes.
Very excited. We might as well give him the big intro because the movie's...
He'll
be here in a sec. The movie's coming out on Friday called Stranger Than Fiction. Ladies and gentlemen, by time this intro's over, we'll have the great Will Ferrell on the phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? Stop what you're doing and listen. What is love?
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch.
What's a Christmas cram? I want one.
Hi-oh. All we are is dust in the wind.
Did you hear that?
You stay classy, America.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how you doing?
Okay. Bean, what were you basing your assumption that he would be ready by the time we played that?
Assistant producer Alex told us we'd have him at 10 after. I figure, hey, it's 12 after. We gotta have him by now.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Why does he sound like a little girl?
I don't do voices. You know that?
It sure is good to be on the show, Kevin and Bean. I'm really looking forward to talking to you.
Remember when Will Ferrell was talking to us about the Borat movie?
Yes.
And he told us that he had seen a screening of it, and when he got out of it, he said that he was depressed because he didn't think he would ever make a movie that funny.
Yeah, well.
That's an amazing thing to say about somebody else's movie, isn't it?
Sacha Baron Cohen has raised the bar pretty high for all comedians. Everybody whose job it is to make funny movies, you're right. Now you do have something exceptional that you're going to have to work
and with. And Sam, the Armenian comedian, he also has raised the bar. We have Kelly.
No, I'm really looking forward to Stranger to Fiction. I think it's going to be great, guys.
Why does he sound like a girl?
I'm Doug. I got no voice. What do you want me to do?
He's a guy. No, I'm just saying he's a guy. At least give him that. This movie looks really effed up, by the way. Stranger than Fiction. I mean, it really looks so bizarre. There he is. Okay. Should we play the intro again now?
No, let's not cut into our time with Mr. Ferrell. Okay. Will Ferrell, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Sean K-Rock. How are you?
Great to be back.
Great to have you back.
Let's couldn't
just cut to the chase.
Okay. What's the chase?
I don't know, what were you guys talking about?
Will, right as you came on, Kevin was saying how effed up this movie looks, but in a good way. Would you describe it as such?
I would. Yes, it's kind of deliciously confusing. And yet when you kind of sit in the theater and you're going to stay till the end. That's my guarantee.
You're going to stay till the end, you're saying.
You're not going to walk out.
Wow, that's a pretty strong statement.
That good.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Now, you play, your character is Harold Crick. Here's the part that's really kind of effed up. Someplace else, there's an author, and she's writing a book, and she, as she changes the story as it goes along, the stuff starts happening to Will Ferrell's character.
Yes, that's correct.
And
yes,
she can hear him in your head, too, right?
I can hear Emma Thompson's voice as it narrates my life. And I kind of can't figure out what's going on, and then I through a series of events find out that I'm the main character in her book, and her signature move as a novelist is that she always kills off the main character. So I have to find her to let her know that I actually exist, and to please not complete the book.
Now, can anyone around you hear the voice, or it's just in your head?
It's just me.
Oh, nice.
Just me.
And your character is for real. I mean, he's living on Earth in the real world. He's not in some.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
That looks awesome. This looks like a great movie to be in. It doesn't look like a Will Ferrell movie, which I think might be a decent move on your part. Why were you interested in doing it?
It was one of those scripts that was kind of everyone was talking about, and it kind of came my way, and I read it and thought this would be, it wasn't a kind of a conscious decision to kind of do a different thing, as it was just, it came across my way, and I didn't get the part. I had to kind of meet with the director and do all that, so that's kind of how it happened, but it was kind of a very cool opportunity to do something different and to, act with real actors.
Right.
Like Dustin Hoffman.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, let's face
Emma
it, you've
Thompson.
Acted with...
Hold on, I'm not done here.
Oh, okay, there's more.
Queen Latifah.
Come on.
That's what I'm talking about.
And Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
Or Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, right. I'm always fuzzy on the pronunciation.
You've acted with some great people in your career, particularly in these last few years or so. But even for you, Will Ferrell, superstar movie actor, you have to wake up in the morning and go, I'm in a freaking scene with Dustin Hoffman. What's going on in my life?
It was a little crazy. I'm not going to lie to you. And I said, Dustin, don't be nervous.
Right. So you tried to calm him?
I'll put you on my shoulders. I'll carry you to the finish line.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Is he a funny guy in real life? He seems like he would be.
He is. He's very funny. He's very sweet. He actually, the surreal moment for me was kind of the first day we worked, after the first take we did of whatever scene we were shooting that day, he turned to me and said, what do you think? How was that? Was that okay? I can do better. I think I can do better.
Jeez.
And he was incredibly self-deprecating in a way that kind of put me at ease, which I don't know if that was just a tactic of his or if he's truly that nice, but he was kind of incredible that way.
Would you say that not
and
only...
And he donated his entire salary to charity.
Is that true?
No, that's not.
Okay. but you did, right?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, good.
The Boys and Girls Club of Anaheim.
Excellent. Would you say that not only will we stay through the end of the movie, but we will cry tears out of our buttholes? That's what he said last time he was on the show.
I know. That's a lofty claim.
Yeah.
I think you will.
Okay.
I think buckets of tears out of your
buckets
buttholes.
Of tears, okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Bring a pail or a Ziploc bag or something.
We have Will Ferrell on the phone with us right now, who we're always happy to catch up with. The film is Stranger Than Fiction that opens up Friday. I want to play a quick clip from the David Letterman show last night. Kevin, I don't know if you got a chance to
I
see it or not, but Dave's there doing his nonsense at the desk, and in from the back of the auditorium walks Britney Spears out on the show, and has this to say.
I'm in town, and I'm such a huge fan.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. God bless you. Thank you very much. That means a lot to me.
No,
thank you.
Had to stop by.
Oh, that's very sweet.
No, I wasn't talking about you. I was
talking about
Will Ferrell.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Do you know where he is?
Well, he'll be over there in the green room.
Bye.
Good luck. Thank you.
He skips on off the stage and back into the green room. Did you get a chance to meet Mr. and or Mrs. Spears last night, Will?
It was just Mrs., because I'm tight with K-Fed.
Sure.
I'm currently one of his backup dancers.
Is that right? Good.
On his tour, which is going great.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's what I hear. The shows that haven't been canceled due to tour poor ticket sales.
Right. Going great, okay?
Okay, all right. Did you make sweet
really
love to Britney?
Great.
Right.
Okay.
What about the shows that are canceled? Are those going great?
I don't know. No.
Did you make sweet love to Britney?
I didn't have the opportunity to.
Okay.
No, but they did a funny thing at the show where they, at a certain point, they cut away to us talking in the green room.
Uh-huh.
But they told me that Britney really wanted to say hi, and it turns out it was all just a trick to get us to film this thing.
So that was Dave's idea or his staff,
that was
you mean?
The show's idea, and when I went in, I'm like, hey, Britney, what's up? She's like, oh, hey. So she didn't really care.
Yeah,
way.
you were just a plot point. You were just
kind of a pawn.
Yeah, a pawn. Yeah.
Here's the support you get out of me, by the way, Will. Is I tuned into Letterman, watched through Britney, then turned it off. Didn't even stay to see your segment.
Nice. Like his feelings weren't hurt enough already.
Yeah.
Here's a quick clip from Stranger Than Fiction.
No, I can't send mail. It's urgent.
How do you know her?
I'm her brother.
Her brother?
Her brother-in-law.
She has a sister.
No, I'm married. I'm married to her brother. Not in this state, the one over.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
No. Okay. Listen, I'm one of her characters. I'm in her new book.
Oh.
And she's going to kill me. Not actually, but in the book. But I think it'll actually kill me, so I need to talk to her and ask her to stop.
And I'm sure that goes well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I've
got... Full clip. Totally sums up the movie.
It did, yeah. It did. I got to tell you, since I saw the first trailer for this, I thought it looked fantastic. And, you know, I'm a fan of yours anyway. I'll go to anything you're in. But this looks like it's good aside from you as well. So
no, it's, I mean, I, you know, to not to sound too, I don't know.
Cocky? Pompous?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It really is an artfully made film, and Mark Forster is a hell of a director, and it's kind of one of those movies that's a little bit of everything, and it's pretty good.
Well, that's what the audience is looking for, something that's pretty good. So well said, Will. Stranger Than Fiction opens up everywhere on Friday, November 10th. Definitely go see it this weekend. And then go see Borat again while you're at it, since you're down there anyway. What the hell, right?
Or either go see Borat first and then go see Stranger Than Fiction, you know, if you want.
Either way, you won't be disappointed.
But
Will, we love you, man.
But buy the ticket for Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah, you don't even have to sit in it.
You can skip into Borat. All right.
Exactly.
Will, thanks. We'd love to have you anytime.
Okay, see you guys.
Bye now. Jed, how do you come up with questions like that? I'm just curious because it really seems like that's way out of left field. What if your name was Asshole?
It was funny because I actually came up with that question for Trent Reznor when I was doing a three-way with him and Michael, the maintenance man.
Is that right?
Carol Q.
How about that?
What?
I didn't know he knew him.
But, okay. I didn't either. How about that?
Fantastic. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. And as usual, just for getting on the air, you get a prize. We only have four of them today, so we have to take the four best.
All right. Four best callers today win a brand new snowboard, a ride snowboard from Sports Chalet. Plus, how about this? A pair of lift tickets valid at Bear Mountain or Snow Summit. Snow is arriving soon at Big Bear, or so they're telling us. However, yesterday, 95 degrees in L.A. set an all-time record for November the 6th.
Yeah.
So snow may not be coming this week, but when it does, you'll be happy to have the snowboard and the free lift tickets.
All right. Let's say good morning to Nick in Anaheim. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What to do, nephew?
Yeah, I actually did it. I spent my hard-earned $15. I went down and bought the new Kevin Federline CD.
Dear God.
Oh, no, I don't blame him. That's train wreck right there. That's good stuff. You got to listen to how bad that is, right?
I had to listen to how bad it was, and I have to say it was bad. Makes a nice coaster on my coffee table, though.
Excellent.
Good to hear. We haven't heard the record. What's the problem? Is the music's bad, the lyrics are bad, the production's bad, everything's bad? What's the deal?
It's a mix between the lyrics and just his voice. I just can't stand him.
The lyrics of at least every other song is how he rolls and how much money he has and the cars he drives and the clothes he wears, and none of you could ever have as much money as I have. And it so rubs me the wrong way because it's not his, it's all hers. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
He's got the vocab of a kindergartner.
Plus, he didn't put this on.
That's probably better than anything on the record.
That was just for Brazil, yo.
Thank you, Kevin.
Let's go to Brian in Santa Clarita. Hi there.
Yeah, what a do, nephew.
What a do.
It's Brandon.
Brandon, okay.
Well, it's actually a kind of a sad story. I was actually on the guy's
hang show. Hang on. Bean, you got some sad story music so that Brian / Brandon can tell his story? All right, go ahead.
Here we go.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Actually, I was on the show about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on there, and one of my fellow coworkers overheard.
Yes.
And actually, I got fired on Friday for being on the Kevin and Bean show.
Wait a minute. How do they just fire you for being on the radio?
They can't. That's not a fireable offense.
Ratted out.
No, but
wait. Was it because of something you said, or was it because you're not allowed to use the phone for personal use during work hours?
Well, no. I was on the clock. Right. I was on the clock, but I was actually on a break, and I got ratted out. And since I was during a probationary period, they fired me.
Okay, what was the reason they gave you? Was it because of something you said on the air?
No, it's because I mentioned where I worked.
Oh, so the fact that you mentioned the name of the business that you work at made them mad.
Yes, sir. Well, the problem is it's a little bit more than a business. It's a government agency.
Okay, who? Now that you don't work there, tell us who it was.
City of Glendale.
What did you say about them when you were on the air? I don't remember the phone call.
Well, actually, do you guys remember a guy running down the street getting chased by a pit bull?
Sure.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay.
I love that.
Do you want us to call them for you? Well, because we'll put you on hold and you can give Lightning the number. We'll call your boss and find out what the real story is if you want.
Nah, you know what? It's like they're saying it's because of other reasons, but I got ratted out.
They wanted to get rid of you is the real truth.
Yeah, sounds like it. I think they're probably right. They probably made the right decision.
Well, you know right, what? Brandon. That's it. We're going to boycott the city of Glendale. We're not going there anymore.
That's right. Sorry. No more business with the city of Glendale.
Screw Glendale.
That's it. They're out. Can't treat us like that.
My shadow will never darken Brand Boulevard again. They shan't see me.
Brayden in Long Beach. Hi.
What a do, nephew?
What a do, nephew?
Is everybody on lewds today or what?
Yeah, a little laid back. What's going on?
I was just calling in to let you guys know that J.J. Abrams needs to be punched in the neck for killing off Mr. Echo, because he was just the biggest BA on that show, and they took him out.
Well, Echo wanted to go. That was the problem. The actor who plays him wanted off the show.
Dude, it can suck to be on a really successful show and live in Hawaii. Oh, wait. No,
sure.
It can't.
Yeah, he was eager to get back to dark, dank London and make an independent film that no one's going to see. He was in a hurry to do that.
Yeah. Man, by the way, it wasn't J.J. Abrams. It was the Smoke Monster. Do you not watch?
Well, no, I do watch, and that's what sucks, is now I'm hooked by the show, and my favorite character is gone.
Yeah.
So now I'm stuck with Charlie and Claire and how they can't seem to make a house.
Might I mention,
you got the new fruit-cutting people who
that's
I've never
right.
seen before. They're on the show. They're great.
There's a new hot chick that cuts fruit that
hey,
was on.
Hey, we get to go on the mission now, because we've never been on the show before.
I'm in with that.
We cut fruit.
Plus, you got Kate. What's wrong with you, Braden?
I love me some Kate, but, you know, she's stuck in a cage right now.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Where she belongs, by the way.
Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Hey, let's go to Barlow. We didn't have time to talk about this. Barlow is down in West Covina. This was a...
No one's name is Barlow, by the way. There are no Barlows.
Oh, come on.
Good morning to you. I wanted to bring this up this morning, too, but I figured I'd wait till our sports guy was on to do a report, and then we'd talk about it. But, Barlow, what happened, dude?
Dude, last night, Monday Night Football. I mean, Raiders, go Raiders. They suck right now, but I got to watch them.
Right.
But Tirico, Theismann, and Kornheiser, come on, they blow.
They're awful.
I agree.
They are bad announcers.
Unwatchable.
Yeah.
The best they could do is Christian Slater.
Yeah, they brought in Christian Slater for a while last night. That was really odd.
And he didn't know anything about football. He even came out and said it's the first time he's ever watched a game.
And yeah, but the best part wasn't Christian Slater. The best part was they brought out Brian Bosworth to sit in the booth for a while.
Oh, the Boz.
Yeah.
Then they called him on when Bo Jackson ran him over to get into the end zone.
But at least Theismann said that Stone Cold was one of his favorite movies ever.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, at least it made sense. At least the Boz played for the Seahawks, so it makes sense that he's in the booth for a minute. But Christian Slater, there to promote his movie, who knew nothing about football. I mean, he's watching going, hey, this is really fun. These guys are good.
Yeah. I've never watched football.
Not a big football fan.
But, you know,
what
I love
hell?
I love Tony Kornheiser as a writer. I hate his part in The Interruption. I hate him as a writer. I mean, I hate him as a broadcaster. But he did have one great point last night that I do have the tape for when he was talking about old man Al, who owns the Raiders.
Yeah.
Talking about the 2-6 Raiders.
And his Raiders have fallen off the map. Mostly, they just lose, baby. They have reached the sorriest state of all in sports irrelevance. Al Davis is a giant, and it makes me sad to see how far the mighty have fallen, and maybe can't get up.
I will say I did enjoy hearing that, though. Those words were nectar to my ears.
Most Monday nights, I just watch Heathers over and over again. Let's go to Armand in Ontario. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
What do you do, nephew?
What it do?
What's going on?
I was John Cena, actually Kevin Federline last night on Raw challenged John Cena to a wrestling match on New Year's Day live on Raw. And John Cena accepted last night.
I'm sorry,
about irrelevance.
I thought you just said that K-Fed challenged John Cena to wrestle.
Yeah, he did last night and John Cena came out and, you know, insulted him just like he always does.
Sure.
Accepted the challenge.
Has anyone gone to Joke Has Been faster than Kevin Federline?
He started at Joke Has Been. He started there.
I mean, he's gone right to, like, sort of celebrity boxing status. It's kind of like a Screech and Horshack fighting now with him.
You should have seen him just smirking and pausing like he's a big wrestler.
Oh, yeah, he's a badass, that guy.
I don't know why he thinks that wrestling stuff is working for him. Every time he goes out there, he just gets shouted out. I mean, they just boo him down, yet he still keeps making appearances. I don't understand what he thinks he's gaining by that.
He's shameless.
It just shows how unpopular he is. That's the only thing he's doing.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some freak accident and he broke a lumbar vertebrae or something and ended up in a wheelchair?
Just died?
That'd be hilarious. No, I want him to live.
You want him to live?
But I'd like him to be paralyzed.
I see.
That'd be sweet.
let's take one more. Let's go to Cree in Monrovia because I actually saw this yesterday. We didn't have time to talk about it today. But Cree, you're on the air. What'd it do, nephew?
Cree in Barlow calling in today.
And Braden.
This is like a
Braden,
like
one what of the hell?
This is like Fast Lane. It's like an episode of Fast Lane. Cree in Barlow. And Braden.
What's up, Cree?
Hey, I watched, I saw the Oprah show yesterday with Kirstie Alley on there in her bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She's still fat.
Yes, she is.
She lost 70 pounds, and you see her compared to the photos of her, you know, back when she was at her heaviest. And yeah, she does look better, but she doesn't look anywhere near good enough to be in a bathing suit.
She's the Cruz Bustamante of actresses.
Yeah, that's true. I was fat. Now I'm still fat.
And I thought it was such a punk sellout that she wore like the Hooters stripper girl clear
bonus bikini, by the
way. Right, which hides cellulite and rolls and stuff.
Completely bogus.
That's
bogus. She had about an inch of skin on her stomach from the top.
You
want to
see more cellulite? That's your plan?
No, but I'm saying if you're going to promise everybody I'm coming out to show you I'm in bikini shape, can't wear a burqa and then say, you know.
Well, she did have a girdle on.
She did. It was kind of sad. All right, thank you for the call. We got to pick our four best callers for the snowboard and the lift tickets. Who do you guys like?
I think Tler was good. And
Nick
and Klink.
Nick was our first call. Actually,
Tlag.
Actually bought the K-Fed CD, had to hear it. Braden wants to punch J.J. Abrams because they killed off Mr. Echo.
He's the guy that's not eligible for a prize because he's been on recently.
No, I think that was Brian. That was Brian. He called, he's fired for being on the Kevin and Bean show.
Okay,
he can't win. Cree just watched Oprah and saw Kirstie Alley, said she was still fat. Barlow from West Covina said the Monday night game was bad. Announcers were worse.
We're making up names now.
And Armand from Ontario said K-Fed's going to wrestle John Cena. So those
okay.
We need four.
All right, Dave, pick four Deke is what I say.
Deke.
And
Schmirk.
Deke and Schmirk.
Yep.
Let's go.
All right.
Dave, pick four. Thank you for calling, everybody. We'll do four more again tomorrow morning.
Work.
Too hard.
I can pick four. I can't count to four.
All of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including the very funny Will Ferrell. His new film is called Stranger Than Fiction. That one opens up everywhere on Friday. How about Skip Haynes, ladies and gentlemen? We can't stop him. PetCDs.com.
Don't clap for him, you a-hole. Brilliant.
If you want your bird to audition for Bird American Idol.
F you. It so sounds like you're making that up, but unfortunately you're not.
Hey, guys, we have to have this guy on. Bean says, Bird.
You're
American
not at
Idol.
All fascinated with a guy who would come up with that concept,
None.
Ralph?
I would have him on again tomorrow.
Zero fascination.
He's so bad.
Kelly Carlson, I think we can all agree on, is a goddess.
There you go. Much better.
And is unbelievably hot and so great on Nip Tuck. She's got a big episode tonight, Tuesday, that's tonight, at 10 o'clock on FX. And finally, thanks to Jorge Garcia. He, of course, plays Hurley on Lost with a new episode tomorrow night on ABC at 8 o'clock.
I guess Kelly's picture's up on the K-Rock site if you want to see
it.
As well it should be.
Yeah.
You know, other things are up on the K-Rock site. You should look around the K-Rock website, people.
Why do you say that?
I'm just telling our listeners.
Oh, yes.
We're not talking about it.
No.
But you should do a little investigating on the K-Rock website. You might find some interesting things.
Maybe the Kevin and Bean section?
Maybe.
Okay.
Ralph, make your point.
I can't. It's a secret. But there's stuff on there you should listen to.
Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to the Reverend, who is the head of the church and has done nothing but talk about how homosexuals are bad and going to hell, and claims that he bought meth and got a massage from a gay boy.
Oh, my goodness!
So he's bad, and we're going to talk about him. There's a couple of different companies that are doing the same thing, which is a tabloid fantasy league. It's like fantasy football, but you draft celebrities.
Yep.
It's really odd.
And I took K-Fed as my starter. Is that a bad idea?
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. Does death count for a lot?
I'm taking the shorts this season.
I know we'll talk about it tomorrow, but if you're playing fantasy football, say, you can take a look at what the running back that you picked did in the game Sunday, and you get yardage that you can then add to your point totals. How does it work with celebrities? Is it if they sign for a big movie, or how does it work?
It's success versus failure, and I think it's also presence in the media, and the tabloids, and that kind of thing. So if you have, let's say, Sacha Baron Cohen, if you picked Borat early this year, then right now you're doing pretty well. Like, if you took Kevin Federline, you might be hurting.
Well, if it's tabloid appearances, though, well, we'll find out tomorrow. We'll find out all the rules tomorrow so we can play our fantasy celebrity game. Also on tomorrow's show, Charles in Charge coming back. Our security guard, Charles, has the answer to every question you might have, and he will share them with you tomorrow.
He's keeping it funky.
He is doing that, yes. Bob Dylan's Theme Time Radio Hour tomorrow. One of the favorites of the K-Rock audience. And we got to deal with Lisa's stupid little yippy dog. We gotta take care of that.
Yes.
Her dogs are just running roughshod over the neighborhood.
Someone's got to step in.
So we're going to do that tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. I am sorry to inform you that Evanescence Lithium will be part of that 40 Minutes. Also, Rage Against the Machine, Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Killers, AFI, new music from Stone Sour, and more. After this on K-Rock.